you don't spare. I swear she must believe it's all hell to see. Hey, boy, you better bring a check around. To the sad, sad truth, the dirty low down. Big idea. Nothing you can't handle, nothing you ain't got. Put your money on the table and drive it off the lot. Turn on that old love light, turn a baby to a yes. Same old schoolboy game got you into this mess. Hey son, better get on back to town. Face the sad old truth, the dirty law down. Put those ideas in your head.
Hottest pregame show in minor league baseball. It's the Air Show with Michael, Mark Antonini, and Ray. Let's send it down to the first base dugout for today's show.
What's going on, Iowa Birds fans? Michael, Mark Antonini, and Ray Atkinson getting set to bring you some action here in Game 5 of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Hickory Crawdads. Well, it's a beautiful night for baseball here in the Dean, and it's Marvel Defenders of the Diamond night. Well, Ray, the Ironbirds have been defending every diamond they've played on lately really well. And, you know, three straight wins, five out of their last six, hoping to put another one in the win column tonight. But it's good to have you back, man. I mean, more than anything, it's fun going back and forth on the pregame show. I just don't like talking to myself, so it's good to have you back,
man. Yeah, it's been a jam-packed series. This has been an incredible series so far against the Hickory Crawdads. Just pregame, in-game, post-game, you name it. It's just completely entertaining here at the Dean. The Dean, as you said. I've actually never heard Aberdeen referred to that before. That's pretty awesome.
I think I coined that term back when I started here in 2022, and I hope it continues to catch on. But, Ray, let's talk about what happened last night in the Ironbirds 6-4 win. Like I said, three straight wins for the Birds, five in their last six games. They continue to rack up the extra base hits. Seven extra base hits for the Ironbirds last night, Ray. Five in the first two innings. And how about what Kobe Mayo and Enrique Bradfield Jr. did to start the game? Bottom of the first inning, down 2-0. EBJ picks on the first pitch he sees, sends it out to right, and then two pitches later, Kobe Mayo, a bomb to tie it in the left.
Three pitches, 2-0. Yeah, three pitches, and then all of a sudden it was 2-0. You blinked, you missed it. It's like the Capital One shuffle, you know?
Yeah, talking about the extra base hits, Adam Retzbach added two more to his season total, picked up his second homer of the season. He added a double later. Randy Florentino showing off the wheels with a triple, and Matt Korvath capped off the night of extra base hits with that go-ahead RBI triple in the seventh inning. Birds tacked on one more on Prado's RBI single. But this team is clicking right now, Ray.
They are clicking. You could probably say as a team, they hit for the cycle twice. I would think so, right? It's a combined effort, so not as impressive as a solo cycle, but at the same time, you know, two home runs, two triples, multiple doubles, extra base hits, it's all over the place. They were gobbling up the bases yesterday, and as you said, defenders of the diamond, as we're experiencing tonight.
Well, Ray, before I throw it to you to tell everybody what's going on here at the ballpark the rest of this series, especially tonight, let's talk about that recent offensive success for the Ironbirds. It starts with what they've done over the last six games. Over the last six, 7.5 runs per game, 45 total runs. Both of those marks lead the South Atlantic League. And how about in the month of June? So that's 12 games, 43 extra base hits in only a dozen games. And the three homers last night, it's the second time they've done that in the last week and a half.
The last week and a half, first time they've done it here in Aberdeen. And I was thinking to myself, man, when was the last time we saw a three home run game over here? But last night, 150% delivered. It's so fun. Let's hope for a redux of that tonight.
All right, Ray, before we wrap up the show, I'm going to throw it to you, my man, to tell everybody what's going on here at the ballpark.
Wait,
take
you're
it away.
Throwing it to me? Wait, that's no longer my job anymore because Aberdeen has a new on-field host. Give it up for Carson. Carson, tell them what we got going on tonight.
Good evening, guys. I'm Carson, your new in-game MC. Honored to be here with all, you all and have a lot of fun tonight. We've got a jersey raffle. Look for the QR code around the ballpark and enter that thing. And stay after. We got some fireworks for you guys. Let's have a great night. Go Ironbirds.
That was Carson with the flight crew. Look out for them throughout the game tonight and enjoy some good in-game entertainment.
All right. Appreciate you, Carson. Great to have you here in Aberdeen. Well, for Ray Atkinson, I'm Michael Marcantonini. That's a wrap for another edition of the Air Show. First pitch coming up at 7:05. Ironbirds fans, let's have some fun. And Ray, as always, let's fly.
Fans, turn your attention towards the pitcher's mound for tonight's ceremonial first pitches. All right, first up tonight is Alan Atkins, who is celebrating his 60th birthday today. Nicely done. Even at 60, you still throw like you're 20. Amazing. All right, next up, entering relief are Abby and Ollie Stein, who are here for the Josh Stein birthday celebration. This one's going to be a team effort. You got this. That was double the fun on that first pitch. And now, our closer, Mary Hassler, on behalf of Harford County Public Libraries, who just kicked off their summer reading program. These were all nicely done. That was tonight's ceremonial first pitches. Defenders of the Diamond. Give it up for them, fans.
Exhausted, stressed, or anxious. When you have days that just feel too hard to get through, you are not alone. If you or someone you love is struggling with mental health or problems with drugs or alcohol, help is right in your hands. Call or text 988 to connect with a National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline specialist and get support whenever you need it. Help is here. Call or text 988.
without me.
We are raffling off the jerseys that the Ironbirds are wearing tonight, the Defenders of the Diamond jerseys. Like what you see? Then scan that QR code and enter into the raffle. Get them while they're hot.
It's a beautiful night for a ball game here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set for Game 5 of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Hickory Crawdads. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Marcantonini, the voice of the Ironbirds, live from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Should be a really good one tonight in the Dean. It is Marvel Defenders of the Diamond Night, second straight year that The Ironbirds are rocking the Marvel jerseys. It should be a really fun one. The Ironbirds are playing some really good ball. They come in winners of three straight. They've won five of their last six, and they are still mathematically alive in the first half playoff race. Birds come in at 32-29 overall. Meanwhile, the Crawdads sit at 26-35. We'll get you the starting lineups and the pitching matchup in a few minutes. But first, I have a pregame interview with Ironbirds infielder Jalen Vasquez to play on the broadcast. Really fun talking to Jalen throughout this season. And finally got him on an interview, so we'll hear from Jalen and then get you some more details after the break. I've got Bob Phelan from the Orioles on the Verge podcast joining me on the broadcast tonight, so looking forward to talking to Bob as well throughout the night tonight. But first, my interview with Ironbirds infielder Jalen Vasquez. Michael Mark Cantonini back here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. I've got Ironbirds infielder Jalen Vasquez joining me. Well, Jalen, you're almost halfway through your first full pro season. How's everything going, man?
Yeah, everything's going good. You know, just trying to just adapt to this long season, because, you know, by around this time, I'm either in summer ball or at home, you know, chilling with my family. But we're out here, we're working, and, you know, just enjoying the opportunity.
Is there anything specific you're doing now as a professional to help you get through this longer season?
Honestly, just every day is doing recovery, arm care, and seeing the ice tub, seeing the hot tub consistently is big, and just the weight room is a big part of this. Just all that, all three of those things go together on staying healthy. And if you just do that consistently, you know, you could get through this long season. But it's a long, long process. So,
in college ball, you're playing four, maybe five games in a week. How much recovery stuff did you do in college compared to now?
I mean, in college, back in 23 for my junior year, I had like a sciatica problem for my lower back. So I was in there a good bit, you know, but I played through that injury all year. But probably at least four to five times a week when I could. Doing that recovery got me through that whole year. So just, yeah.
The Orioles drafted you in the 20th round last year out of North Greenville University. Just take me through draft day and what that feeling was like of getting drafted.
Yeah, so actually, I was actually in Charleston at my mom's house, and, you know, I was refreshing on Twitter, just seeing the MLB draft tracker. And just hopefully, like, somebody's going to call my name, somebody's going to send me a text message. Well, around, like, the 18th round, like, the Orioles kind of started texting me and was, like, you know, keep me in a loop, like, trying to, like, fight for me. And around the 20th round, I honestly kind of lost hope a little bit because, I mean, it's the last round, like, the picks are going down. And I knew that the Orioles was my only chance, because they were the only people that was talking to me. So I saw that, and I was on the phone with my dad in the car. I was like, and we were kind of negotiating just move-in day for senior year at North Greenville. And I was just sitting on the phone with him, and I was just looking on my phone. And I refreshed the screen one time, and I just saw my name pop. I was like, "Dad, I got drafted by the Orioles." He goes, "No way." I was like, "Yeah." So it's a blessing, man. I just thank God for the opportunity, and, you know, just my family always supported me. And, you know, I'm glad that the Orioles got me. I'm around a lot of good guys, and it's a blessing to be here. So,
yeah. Well, I appreciate the insight there. That's an awesome story, and it's nice that you didn't have to deal with move-in day for another year of college. But what have you learned about yourself, not necessarily on the field, but even off, in your first full year of pro ball?
You know, going into this, I was working on maturity. You know, off the field, like, my girlfriend helped me in that aspect a lot. She's been there for me and just helped me grow as a man, teaching me things that I never knew. Coaches do the same thing. Like, they want you to grow, like, be a man off the field as well, just not on the field. Like, being professional is handling your business on and off the field. You know, how you go about your business on the field is how you go about your business off the field, regardless of what it is. So just being a professional, and just being able just to utilize the things that I'm doing on the field and bringing out into the world. It's been pretty cool to, like, see myself mature and just to become the man that I am.
You put up some great numbers in college ball, a little bit of pop, and of course now in pro ball you've got one homer under your belt. You hit your first pro homer back in April. You only get one first career homer at the professional level, and yours was a no doubt about it shot. You got to admire it a little bit here in Aberdeen. So how did that feel to put one out here?
Yeah, honestly, that felt good. I didn't know what to do on the celebration. I saw the dugout hyping me up, and I got into the moment, and so I just I honestly didn't realize I threw it that high until I saw the video. So it was a pretty cool moment. I'm glad I got to do it here. But it was fun. It was fun for sure.
Well, you're the type of hitter who sprays it all over the yard, doubles, triples to the gap, you know, down the line. And this park here in Aberdeen plays to your skill set. And, of course, with your speed, you can run forever. So how does this ballpark compare to others that you've played in at the collegiate level or even so far in Pro Bowl?
Yeah, you can see the dimensions of the field. Like, down the lines, like, anything in air is pretty much gone. But as soon as it hits the gaps, you're running for days. That's what I like about this field, because this year I'm not really focusing on homers. Like, of course, like, I would love to hit homers. Like, everybody likes to hit homers. But in my first year in pro ball, I always tell coaches, like, hey, I'm just looking to hit line drives and extra base hits and have the other guys drive me in, or, like, getting singles and stealing bags. Like, that's my main focus this year. So I'm up to, like, 20 bags and a few extra base hits. I'm looking to get some more throughout the rest of the season. We'll just see how that goes. I'm working really hard in the cages, working on my bat path, working on my swing, just figuring things out. And the last couple of days, it's been coming together. So the key to this game is consistency. So that's what I'm looking for.
All right, Jalen, want to wrap up the interview with one more for you. You got any people back home that you want to shout out here on the pregame show?
Yeah, shout out my mom, my dad, Gabe, Lauren. Those are my step-parents. I love you guys. Shout out my baby brother, Alex. I miss you guys, and hopefully I'll see you guys soon. I know you guys will be out there in North Carolina supporting me, and I just can't wait to see you guys, and I love you.
Ironbirds infielder Jalen Vasquez joining me on the Ironbirds pregame show. Jalen, thanks so much for the time and the insight, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we are just about set for baseball here in Aberdeen. That was my pregame interview with Ironbirds infielder Jalen Vasquez. It's always fun talking to Jalen, one of my favorite guys to chat with around the batting cage. And, you know, I told him earlier today, I said, hey, I went back and listened to that interview. I'm going to play it on the broadcast tonight. It was one of the best that I've done so far this season. So really fun to talk to Jalen. Well, the Ironbirds are out on the field, and Levi Wells, who is starting tonight for the Birds, is getting ready to throw his warm-up tosses. He'll go up against right-hander Winston Santos for Hickory, a couple of righties tonight. Now to the starting lineups. First for Felipe Alou Jr.'s Aberdeen Ironbirds, it's Enrique Bradfield Jr. in the leadoff spot. He's in left field. Kobe Mayo is the third baseman. He bats second. Mac Horvath is over at second base, batting third. Creed Willems, who hit a walk-off two nights ago, had the night off last night, is catching and batting fourth. Elio Prado is in center field. He bats fifth. Carter Young back in the lineup tonight. He's at shortstop, batting sixth. Adam Retzbach is swinging it well. He's the DH, batting seventh. Maxwell Costas is over at first base in the eight hole. And rounding out the lineup, batting ninth, it is the right fielder, Douglas Hodo. So one more time, 1-9 for the Birds. It's Bradfield, Mayo, Horvath, Willems, Prado, Young, Retzbach, Costas, Hodo. On the flip side, for Chad Comer's Hickory Crawdads, it's Alejandro Ozuna in center field in the leadoff spot. Cam Colley, the shortstop, bats second, with Jason Morabell, the right fielder, in the three hole. Sebastian Walcott's the DH. He bats fourth. Luis Mieses is over at first base, batting fifth. Yossi Galan is the left fielder. He's in the six hole, with Ian Moeller, the catcher, batting seventh. Ben Blackwell, the third baseman, hits eighth. Jace Easley, the second baseman, is in the nine spot. So one more time, 1-9 for the Crawdads. It's Ozuna, Cauley, Morabell, Walcott, Mieses, Galan, Moeller, Blackwell, and Easley. On a beautiful night for a ball game here in the Dean, it's Marvel Defenders of the Diamond Night. And not only that, I've got another guest in the booth keeping that series rolling along. And I'm pleased to introduce, from the Orioles on the Verge podcast, Bob Phelan. Bob, thanks for joining me tonight.
Yeah, of course. It was an honor to be asked to do this, and it was no doubter that I would say yes. This was fun. Close by home, so happy to do it.
Well, I know you live in Bel Air. You're from Baltimore County, so you know, you've grown up in Birdland and Orioles territory, and happy to have you with me on the broadcast. One-third of the Orioles on the Verge podcast trio. Good to have Bob here. He'll be with me all night. Levi Wells is ready to rock. His first pitch of the game is a fastball in for strike one on Alejandro Ozuna, the center fielder. Ozuna back in the leadoff spot for the fifth straight night. Some shadow coverage on the infield. Sun shining onto the outfield. Outfielder shading the sun. There's a swing and a miss. Counts quickly 0-2. And the fastball is working early for Wells, who stands 6 feet 2 inches tall. He's 22 years old in his first pro season. Fourth round pick out of Texas State last summer. Four-pitch pitcher. Fastball, changeup, curveball, slider. Couple of fastballs early, and now his 0-2. Breaking ball misses high and away, 1-2. Well, Bob, I know you get a chance to make it out to a couple of Ironbirds games a year, but first time in the booth, how's it feel?
It feels good. It's a nice view up here. Yeah, I could get used to this.
Best view in the house. That's what I always say. 1-2 pitch from Wells. Outside count is 2-2. Well, I know you guys cover the Orioles minor league system as well as really any media outlet out there. We're talking, you know, podcasts, blogs, websites, shows, networks. 2-2 from Wells. Flip foul out of play down the left field line. Talking about the Orioles on the Verge podcast that Bob Phelan is one-third of. And you've been doing this, you told me, since March of 2020. So a pretty good run now into the summer of 2024.
Yeah, it was interesting. We started a minor league podcast right before COVID wiped out the minor leagues in 2020.
Levi Wells goes one up, one down, picks up a strikeout as Ozuna chased a breaking ball low and away. And that brings up Cam Cauley, the shortstop. So no minor league season in 2020. What did you guys talk about for that first year?
We found stuff to talk about. Basically, we didn't do weekly back then. I think it was more like every 2 or 3 weeks. But we just continued to talk about the prospects coming up, what they might be doing.
First pitch from Wells, swing and a miss. Cauley down 0-1.
And we pay attention to what other outlets are putting out and just kind of spin off of that as well.
No score, top of the first inning. One up, one down for Wells on a strikeout. Cauley steps back in. Wells has some solid numbers this year. This is his 13th start, most on the team. He's up to 37 complete innings now with the first out he's recorded tonight. 49 strikeouts with the one tonight, 24 walks. He's striking out just about 12 batters per nine. And he has been pitching much better since the start of May. Tough start to his career. 0-2 outside. Rough April, but he's allowed 2 earned runs or less in 5 of his last 7 outings. And he posted a 3.72 ERA in May. Third outing of June for Wells. Here's the 1-2 to Cauley, fouled back.
Yeah, he's got great stuff. I think he's better than you look at his base ERA, and it doesn't tell the whole story. High BABIP, high home run per fly ball ratio, so definitely some bad luck in the way there. I don't think his background numbers are much different from Jackson Ballmeister, who's obviously had much more success.
1-2 pitch coming up to Cauley. Swing and a miss. Good fastball there from Wells up in the zone. And it's back-to-back strikeouts for the right-hander to start the night. Well, Bob, you just talked about it. The batting average on balls in play, very high against Wells this season. And that tells you that, you know, he's just getting a little bit unlucky. You know, balls are finding holes. Maybe the defense behind him isn't quite helping him out like they are with other guys. But when you're punching guys out, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, exactly. Looks good so far early.
See if he can strike out the side in order. Here's Jason Morabell, the right fielder, left-handed swinger. Umpires in tonight's game. It is Shea Graham behind the plate and Christian Argueza on the bases. 1-0, flip foul out of play. Let's quickly set the defense for the Ironbirds. Creed Willems is catching with Kobe Mayo at third and Carter Young at short. Matt Horvath playing second with Maxwell Costas at first, and then in the outfield, Enrique Bradfield Jr. in left, Elio Prado in center, and Douglas Hodo the third in right. 1-1 pitch from Wells. This is a little bit off the plate. So you guys are recording the podcast weekly now. And, I mean, that's a lot. You know, 52 weeks in a year, that's a lot of episodes of the podcast coming out. And, you know, I know it. You know, you guys got families, you've got jobs, and next pitch, misses low and in, counts 3-1. So how do you find time to do it all?
Yeah, it would be awesome if this was our full-time job. But, yeah, it's just, you know, we love what we do. So it's easy to find time when you're enjoying it.
3-1 pitch. Wells pops it up behind home plate. Count is 3-2. Talking to Bob Phelan of the Orioles on the Verge podcast. They do a great job of covering the Orioles minor league system through and through. We're talking down to the Florida Complex League and the Dominican Summer League. Checking in on recent draft picks. 3-2, ground ball out to second. Horvath has it over to first, and it's a 1-2-3 top of the first inning for Levi Wells. Well, Wells looks great. Fastball is electric. Picked up 2 strikeouts in the clean frame, and he throws up that all-important 0. We'll go to the bottom of the first inning and see if the Birds can jump on the board first for the first time this series. Birds coming to bat, no score here in Aberdeen. Bottom one next. Hallelujah. Bottom of the first inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. No score after a half inning of play. Birds coming to bat. They'll send up Enrique Bradfield Jr., Kobe Mayo, and Mac Horvath against right-hander Winston Santos for Hickory. The Rangers' number 15 overall prospect. He's 6 feet tall, 22 years old, in his fourth pro season. Signed in 2019 for $10,000. Essentially nothing for as much money as some of these guys make nowadays. He's from the Dominican Republic originally. Bradfield shows bunny, drops one down. The third baseman Blackwell fields it, throws to first. And on one pitch, Bradfield is retired on the 5-3 putout. Well, even when the third baseman is in like Blackwell was there, EBJ has a chance to beat it out, but he is retired. And that brings up Kobe Mayo. And, Bob, Kobe Mayo is a guy that everybody in Birdland is excited about, and for good reason.
Yeah, he's shown how much he's grown since the last time he was here a couple years ago, the way he's performed in the first couple games of his rehab stint.
First pitch from Santos to Mayo is a fastball in for a strike. It's 0-1. He's a guy who just commands the batter's box. I mean, he's a huge dude. But you just look at that in-the-box presence. You know, he owns it. 0-1, takes another strike. It's 0-2. Well, Mayo had a nice night at the dish last night. Reached in all three of his plate appearances. Homered in the first inning, doubled home a run his next time up, and he was hit by a pitch in his final plate appearance, but he's all good. 0-2, fights one off the hands, and he falls down in the box. Well, and you know, you use the expression, fought it off the hands. That one might have got a piece of his hands as he fouled it off.
Yeah, that was a little odd. It's just protecting himself more than anything, I think.
Yeah. Well, looks like he's okay. Felipe Alou Jr. is walking down that third baseline asking if he's okay. Head athletic trainer Tori Atencio is out of the dugout as well to check on Kobe. And, you know, I talk to the trainers all the time. You know, less TV time, the better. And it's Tori's birthday today. So happy birthday, Tori. But obviously she doesn't want to deal with any more injuries. So hoping that Kobe's okay.
Yeah, the Orioles fans want to see him up on the big league team sooner than later. Hopefully he doesn't hurt himself any more than he already has this year.
Looks like he's all good. Just a quick chat with Felipe and Tori. No balls and two strikes. No out or one out. Bottom of the first inning, no score. See if Kobe can continue the run at the plate that he's on now in his third rehab game. 1-2, takes a called strike 3, breaking ball in the outer half. Good slider there from Santos. 2 up, 2 down, let's set the defense for Hickory. Ian Moeller is the catcher with Ben Blackwell at third and Cam Cawley at short. On the right side of the infield, it's Jace Easley at second and Luis Mieses in left. And then in the outfield, Yossi Galan in left, Alejandro Ozuna in center, and Jason Morbell in right. Here's Mac Horvath, who's on a tear at the plate lately. Been one of the best hitters in the South Atlantic League over the last 2 weeks. Takes a strike. Count is 0-1. Horvath is batting .349 with an OPS over 1,100 and 4 multi-hit games in 10 games played in June. Counts quickly 1-1 on him. 8 extra base hits in 10 games in June. 4 doubles, a triple, and 3 homers. He's also driven in 9. Next pitch, hard hit ground ball to short. Right to Cawley, over to first. And it's a 1-2-3, bottom of inning number 1. So both pitchers set the opposition down 1-2-3, and just like that, we are through 1 here in Aberdeen. We'll head to the top of the second and keep things going when we come back on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. We'll be right back. Top two in Aberdeen, Michael Marcantonini and Bob Phelan with you on the call tonight. No score after both pitchers set the other team down in order. Back to work for Levi Wells, two strikeouts and a ground out in a 17-pitch first inning. Felt like he threw a lot less. He made quick work of the Crawdads. Now he gets Sebastian Walcott, Luis Mieses, and Yossi Galan. First pitch missed just a little bit off the plate to Walcott, and the count is 1-0. Well, Sebastian Walcott has been a really tough out all series. An RBI triple and an RBI double last night. He went 2-for-4. 1-0 pitch, swing and a miss. Well, Bob, the fastball is looking great for Levi tonight.
Yeah, up to 96 right there. He's got that hop. That's what the Orioles go after when they're drafting guys like him. So he's got it.
Seems like everybody in this organization throwing 95-plus with nasty off-speed stuff. Wells is no different as he misses high, counts 2-1.
Yeah, I think when the Orioles were rebuilding, it was more hitter-focused in the beginning. Now the pitchers are coming in behind him.
Deep breath for Wells. 2-1. Fly ball to shallow left. Is it going to stay in play? And it drifted back. I think it was a fair ball. It was a fair ball. Kobe Mayo made the catch. And it's 4-up, 4-down for Levi Wells. Well, you talk about the offensive heavy, you know, roster building through the minor league system, Bob. And within the last year, the Orioles organization, they seemed like they seemed to prioritize pitching in the draft. Of course, Ballmeister in the second round, highest drafted pitcher of the Mike Elias era, and then Levi Wells in the fourth. You know, he was one of a handful of early pitcher picks last year.
Yeah, it's been fun to follow. We've been coining this the hashtag year of the pitcher in the minor leagues this year because the arms from Double A, High A, and Low A are just electric night in and night out.
1-0, misses a little bit inside. One out, no one on. Top of the second, no score. Well, I touched on it in the first inning, how deep the coverage is between you and Zach and Nick on the Verge podcast. You know, every night you guys are tweeting out clips from games all around the Orioles farm system and giving updates on what happens in each game. You know, you always give the final score and the notable pitchers and hitters from that night. I mean, how do you guys do it all?
It's a great question. Don't ask my wife.
You guys are watching pretty consistently.
Yeah, we watch a lot of the games, and it's just you comb over the box scores afterwards and look at fan graphs with all the hard hit percentages and, you know, do a lot of deep dives when we're bored.
1-2, fouled away over towards the Crawdads dugout. Count stays where it is.
And we have, for our patrons, you can sign up to be a patron of our podcast, and we actually do daily updates of the previous night's games where we talk for like about 10 minutes and just go over what we saw and the notable performances.
Wells looking to make it 5-up, 5-down. Mieses in the box, counts 1-2. Next pitch, hard hit grounder stabbed by Horvath, knocked it down, throws to first, and it's in time to get Mieses. So 5-up, 5-down for Wells. How much time would you guys say that you spend on the podcast per week, whether it's recording an episode or doing, you know, the updates, the social media stuff? You got a number in your head? You can lie about it too if you need to.
I was thinking like 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
I mean, combined, maybe more.
Swing and a miss. Yossi Galan chased a fastball outside. It's 0-1 with two outs and no one on in the second. I mean, the thing with a podcast is, you know, once you establish yourselves, you really have to be consistent with it. You know, you can't just take a couple weeks off and people are like, oh, where's the next episode? And, you know, people lose interest. But you guys have done such a great job of staying on a schedule and a routine and putting out good content.
Yeah, consistency is key. And that's probably what I'm most proud of is that consistency we've been able to bring in and week out. I mean, I'm sure we've missed a week. Maybe 1 or 2 weeks per year, but yeah, it's been redeeming.
1-2, swing and a miss. Another punch out for Levi Wells, and another 1-2-3 inning. 6-up, 6-down for the right-hander to start his night, and he looks really good. So we'll go to the home half of the second. We are still scoreless in Aberdeen. We'll see if the Birds can get on the board first. Keep it locked on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. We move to the home half of the second inning here in Aberdeen. No score between the Birds and the Crawdads. Game 5 of a 6-game series. Levi Wells looking great tonight. 6 up, 6 down with 3 strikeouts. Middle of the Birds order here in the home second. Creed Willems, Elio Prado, and Carter Young against right-hander Winston Santos for the Crawdads. First pitch to Creed is in for a strike. Well, it's been a big week for Creed Willems. He's tearing the cover off the ball. He's really heating up in June. 3 extra base hits, including a walk-off 2-run homer 2 nights ago as he fouls one back. Not only did he deliver the walk-off blast for the Ironbirds the other night in their 10-inning, 8-6 comeback win, but he got to do it in front of his parents. His mom and his dad are in town this week, and they saw it live. You know, it's a lot different than watching on a screen back home. 0-2, swing and a miss. But I just think it's so cool, Bob, that you know when these guys get a chance to play in front of their families, you know how amped up they get and how it almost helps their play on the field. You might not be able to measure it, but there's definitely something to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we hear from players' parents all the time how much they appreciate our coverage. It's, you know, these kids are coming up. There's not a lot of attention paid to them, and we like to put the spotlight on them.
Here's Elio Prado, 4 up, 4 down for Santos. There's a swing and a foul tip. It's 0-1. I think that's what stands out the most about what you guys do is you're not just it's one thing if you're just putting out big league content. Everybody's doing that. As Prado loops one out to short. Nice leaping grab by Cauley in shallow left, and it's 2 gone here in the second. But like you said, there's not a ton of coverage on the minor leagues in general, especially at the lower levels. And, you know, the families, the friends, you know, parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, I mean, they all appreciate it. You know, I get similar messages to probably what you guys get about how much the families appreciate it. But, you know, I think it's you have to keep into perspective who's watching and who's listening. Liner to second. That's into right field. And Carter Young has a base hit. He's around first thinking, too, but he stays put. And the Birds have their first hit. It's actually the game's first hit and first base runner.
Yeah, like you said, even if a guy isn't destined to be a major leaguer one day and he's just a career minor leaguer, it's still a professional athlete, and it's nice to shout them out when they're performing well.
So Young is on with 2 down for Adam Retzbach, who hit a homer to give the Birds the lead in the second inning yesterday, a solo shot to right. He doubled later in the game. He had 2 of the 7 extra base hits for the Ironbirds. Huge hole on the right side for Retz as he rips one down the left field line. This might be another extra base hit. Young's going first to third. Retzbach digging for second. Throw in not nearly in time. And Adam Retzbach, right on cue, delivers a stand-up double, and it's second and third for the Birds.
Orioles are loaded with talent at the catcher position up and down the system. Retzbach's another one of them.
And Retz, not as well known of a name as some of the other catchers in this system. Of course, Creed Willems has become a fan favorite. Silas Ardouin up in AA. Of course, Samuel Basayo is a household name now. But Adam Retzbach is figuring some things out at the plate. He does a great job defensively. And he sets up second and third for Maxwell Costas. And a run's coming home for the Ironbirds. Santos balked. Now Prado's in to score, or Young is in to score. And Retzbach to third. 1-0 Birds on the Santos balk. Well, the Birds will take it as they score first in this series for the first time. Crawdads grabbed the game's first run in each of the first 4 games. As Costas swings and misses, it's 0-1. Well, Bob, you're on the board. We got a run for you. No shutout tonight.
Yeah, feels good. Costas, a local guy from University of Maryland.
One of the best guys to talk to. If you guys are ever looking for an interview, Maxwell Costas, I mean, he could cover multiple episodes for you guys. He talks that much.
Well, that's the guys we want.
1-1. Costas gets one up in the air to deep right field. Morabell ranges back, and he makes the grab shy of the track. Well, Costas gave it a ride, but he is retired for out number 3. But the Birds strike first. A single from Young, a double from Retzbach, and then a balk from Santos nets the Birds a run. So 1-0 Ironbirds on 2 hits in the inning, no errors, and 1 left. After 2 in the books in the Dean, we'll go to the top of the third. Birds 1, Crawdads nothing. 1-0 Ironbirds over the Crawdads, top of inning number 3 in Aberdeen. Michael Marcantonini and Bob Phelan from the On the Verge podcast joining me in the booth. Birds got a run in the bottom of the second. Carter Young singled with two outs. Adam Retzbach doubled. And then with Maxwell Costas at the plate, Winston Santos balked home a run. So 1-0 Birds. As Levi Wells goes back to work, he's retired all six that he's faced. Misses outside to Ian Moeller with Ben Blackwell and Jace Easley to follow. If you're interested in following the On the Verge podcast on X or Twitter, the same thing, I call it Twitter. You know, I got to say both nowadays, I think. But you can follow at The Verge Pod. And these guys do a great job. I mean, you guys have built a huge Twitter following. I mean, over 13,000 followers. How did that happen?
Well, early on, fortuitous enough, Mike Elias retweeted us. He only tweets like once or twice a year, but he retweeted us and quote tweeted us and said, these guys are great at what they do. Give them a follow.
Oh, man.
It was a huge moment for us. One we'll never forget, wow. But that helped a lot.
2-1, fouled back. So for a guy that, you know, has a Twitter account that doesn't use it much, Mike Elias, and he quote tweets you guys, how many followers would you say you got within, you know, the week or so, or even the day that it happened?
The day it happened, probably hundreds.
Okay.
And then over the next week or two, probably like 2,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, it was. It
Mike
really
Elias,
was.
Fan of the pod.
Yeah, we've had him on. I mean, he's a great interview. Hopefully we can get him on again someday. You know, he's a little more busy with the Major League side of things these days, yeah. But you never know.
2-2 from Wells, swing and a miss. Well, Levi Wells is locked in tonight. 7 up, 7 down with 4 strikeouts. And I've said it before in one of his home starts. The last time he was out on this mound, said he looked as good as he has all season. I'm saying it again tonight, Bob.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. The best I've seen him. You know, I'm not watching every game, but, yeah, certainly looks very, very sharp tonight.
Here's Ben Blackwell. Swing and a miss. 97 on the gun right there.
Yeah, a lot of swings and misses. When you're throwing mid-90s with hop, it looks like it's 100-plus.
He tops out at 98. He usually sits in the 93 to 96 range. 0-1, swing and a miss, and another late swing. This time it was a breaking ball, took something off, 81. But, I mean, when you're pumping upper 90s with the fastball and then you see something like that, it has to throw you off.
Yeah, that sets everything up, and then you change eye level and speeds, and, yeah, he's got it all going tonight.
0-2, Hinaway, and he's working fast. I mean, you know, he's just getting the baseball and throwing, working really well with Creed Willems.
Yeah, it reminds me of one of my favorite players, Gene Pinto, who's unfortunately out for this season, but a guy that works really fast.
1-2, got him. Too easy for Levi Wells right now. 5 strikeouts, 8 in a row set down to start the game. Well, this man is just on a roll, and that brings up Jace Easley, the 9-hole hitter. Birds lead at 1-0. Hey, I mean, they might need just that one tonight.
Yeah, the way this is going, I would say so, yeah.
Be out of here before it's dark. Looking to retire the side in order for the third straight inning. Fouled back. It's 0-1.
Yeah, I doubt he's going to go all 9 the way they right. Tandem these starters and get these pitchers some work.
Corners up a little bit. 0-1, a little bit outside, maybe a little bit high as well. Wells' last outing wasn't great. 3 earned and 3 1/3, but he did strike out 6, walked just 3. Didn't go as deep as he would have liked, but, you know, not bad. That was on June 9th at Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think the walks are the thing he could probably improve the most right now. Just get that command a little bit tighter because he's got the strikeout stuff, no doubt.
1-2, two-out pitch coming up. Here it is from Wells. Fly ball to right as Hodo shields his eye from the sun. It hits off of his glove, and the Crawdads have their first base runner. Well, I mentioned it earlier, and I've said it the last few nights. Early on in games at this time of year, the outfielders really have to battle the sun. You often see all three shading their eyes with the glove, and that was a weird play. Hodo, you could tell, Bob, from the start, he looked uncomfortable trying to fight that sun.
Yeah, it was right at him, but, yeah, you could tell. Shading his eyes, that's a tough play.
Well, that'll go down as an E9. A tough one. A sun, that should be an E-sun.
Yes.
Runner at first, back to the top for Alejandro Ozuna. He swings at the first pitch and sends one to deep left. Bradfield's going back, and it sails into the Crawdads bullpen. And just like that, the Crawdads take a 2-1 lead. Well, that's a tough one. Of course, the fly ball to right. Hodo battling the sun, couldn't make the grab, and then on the next pitch, Ozuna goes yard. So 2-1, and that is the first hit for the Crawdads.
Some impressive power going opposite field.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even look like he got all of that.
Yeah.
And it sailed out of here.
I was hoping we'd get to see that 80-grade defense from Bradfield and steal a home run there.
Oh, man. The day I get to call an Enrique Bradfield Jr. robbed homer, that's going to be fun. You can rob him in this park. The fence is not that high all the way around. You know, you got to get up for sure, but
yeah,
it's doable.
And if anyone could do it, I believe he could.
So he's got some serious hops. I mean, just an athlete. So two gone. Here's Cam Cauley, who laces one to left. That's down for potentially extra bases. He's around first, heading for second. Here's the throw in. It's close, but Cauley slides in safe.
Great throw. Great. Played it really well off the wall, Bradfield, speaking of him.
And Bradfield's a guy who's getting some more looks in left field. He's a center fielder who essentially exclusively played there in college. And now in pro ball, you know, the Orioles like to move guys around. I mean, very rarely do you see the same lineup two nights in a row where you've got guys at the same positions they were the night before. I mean, consistently guys moving around, even if it's just a subtle change, a left to center, or right to left, or second to third. They keep guys, you know, they're trying to work these guys in, and, you know, it's only going to help them moving forward.
No doubt. They value versatility for sure. I mean, a guy like Matt Horvath, who can play outfield and infield, especially, you know, I think they care about the bat most, first and foremost, and any way you can get your bat in a lineup. You can see the Major League team's pretty crowded, so the more positions you can play, the better chance you have.
2-1 Crawdads over the Ironbirds, top of the third, as Wells fires in a strike to the three-hole hitter, Morabell. So strikeout, strikeout to start the inning, then an E9, and then a two-run homer, and now a double for Cam Cauley, who's out at second. Willems went out to chat with Wells. 0-1. Well, you talked about it earlier in the inning, getting the walks down. Same thing for Jackson Baumeister, who pitched last night. I mean, both guys have electric stuff, good fastballs, good secondary stuff, young arms in their first season. Really, the biggest thing is getting that walk total down.
Yeah, 100%.
Runner takes off for third, and Cauley is there without a throw on the wild pitch from Wells.
And I think it's nice to keep in mind that these guys aren't just trying to get results here. This is more about player development, I feel like, especially in the lower minors, and could be working on specific things, which leads to that higher walk rate as well.
Yeah. Runner at third now with two down. 1-2 to Morabell. Ground ball to first. Costas stays down on it, takes it to the bag himself, and the inning is over. But the Crawdads grab the lead. A two-out, two-run home run from Alejandro Ozuna is the difference right now. 2-1 Hickory through 2.5. We'll head to the bottom of the third after a quick break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of inning number three here in Aberdeen. Birds looking to get back on top. They trail 2-1. Hickory scored two in the top of the third with two outs. Alejandro Ozuna, a two-run shot to left. And now Douglas Hodo takes strike one. So Hodo then back to the top for Bradfield and Mayo, 9-1-2. Each team with a pair of hits. Birds got a run in the bottom of the second. Crawdads got their two in the third. Another take from Hodo. Count is 1-1. Got Bob Phelan from the Orioles on the Verge podcast joining me in the booth tonight. One-third of that fantastic podcast trio. Swing and a miss from Hodo. Counts 1-2. So you told me before the broadcast, Bob, that you didn't know Nick and Zach too well. I mean, you know, you never met in person. You just, you know, wrote for the same blog. And then you ended up doing a podcast together, and you're going strong on 4 years.
Yeah, very, very convenient. Shout out to Chris Turner, owner of BaltimoreSportsAndLife.com. Really solid website. I'd seen their bylines. We all wrote articles for the site. You just said, "What you want to do? Do you want to do a podcast on the minor leagues together?" We all said yes, and luckily the chemistry was there, and it's all worked out.
That's pretty cool. I mean, and I'm always interested to hear how things like this start. You know, how did it develop? And you know, I just assumed you guys knew each other, maybe college buddies or something like that. Chopped down the third base line. It's past Blackwell into the left field corner. Hodo's around first, heading for second, and he pulls in there with a stand-up double. Well, Douglas Hodo gets things started for the Birds, and now the tying runs in scoring position for Bradfield.
Hodo having a really solid season with the bat since he came up to the Iron Birds, known for his glove, but he's put it together a little bit at the plate.
Standout career at Texas. Hodo was a sixth-round pick a few years back, and he's figuring some things out, stringing hits together, and he's making it happen on the Bates pass as well. See if Hodo tries to take third at some point in the inning. Hodo's 17 for 19 swiping bags this year. So here's Bradfield representing the go-ahead run here in the third. He shows bunt but pulls back, and Santos misses. Santos has some really good numbers this season. He entered the game with a 2.24 ERA in 10 starts and 52 and a third innings of work with 70 strikeouts and only 18 walks on his line. Two strikeouts tonight, no walks. 1-0, Bradfield pops up a bunt, foul territory over to third, and Blackwell can't get there in time. It's a foul ball.
Bradfield, a very good bunter. Even when they expect it, he could still get it down there.
Yeah, he dropped a beauty down last night for a bunt base hit a couple innings after he homered. So, I mean, really showing that he can do it all. This is an Ironbirds team that will consistently at least show bunt to make the defense think it could happen. But Blackwell is in over at third. Bradfield shows bunt again and stabs at it foul over towards the third base line. It's 1-2. Birds down 2-1, bottom three.
Yeah, two home runs this week, I believe, and swing looks much improved from when he was first drafted. You could tell the work that him and the organization have been putting in on that is paying dividends.
He has two homers in his last 13 plate appearances coming into tonight after zero homer in his first 200 career plate appearances.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect too many, but just to be able to hit the ball that hard and get it out on top of the speed, we'll take it.
Well, he consistently hits the ball hard, and now he's seeing him fly out of the yard, and he hits it hard there. Liner back up the middle. Hodo's racing around third, heading home. Throw to the plate is offline, and Bradfield picks up on it and heads to second. He's fired up as he pulls in with an RBI single, and he gets to second on the throw. We are tied at two in the home third.
Yeah, showing off the speed there, taking the extra base. You love to see it.
Well, this Ironbirds team, and really throughout the Orioles organization, any chance they get to pick up an extra base, they do it. And, you know, that throw from Ozuna, I get it, you know, trying to cut him down at the plate, but, you know, if that throw goes into second, Bradfield's still at first.
Yeah, Hodo's pretty fast runner as well, so right. I don't think he was getting him.
So Hodo and Bradfield trade places. We're tied at two. Here's Mayo. Santos looks at second, pitch to Mayo, low and away. Well, Bradfield and Mayo hitting back-to-back in the lineup, it might be something we see at Camden Yards someday, who knows. But these guys grew up pretty close to each other in Florida. They played on the same youth team, the 11U team that they played on back in the day. I mean, that's some pretty impressive talent.
Yeah, absolutely. What a cool story to to say you played travel ball in rec ball or whatever growing up together, Little League, and then be in the same Major League stadium in the same lineup, I think it could happen very soon.
When Bradfield got drafted last July, Kobe tweeted him. He said, at eBradfield20, how crazy. Congrats, bro. Welcome to Birdland. Bradfield quoted it and said, I'll see you soon. So, I mean, that's so cool that they're back together now. As Mayo takes high, count is 2-1. You see some cool connections like that in the baseball world that you don't get in other sports.
Yeah, just the other day, Cade Povich and Spencer Schwellenbach, both Nebraska college pitchers on the same team, pitching against each other when the Braves were in town.
2-1, Mayo fouls one back. I mean, that for the Nebraska baseball program, how cool is that? Two of the best pitchers to come through there, throwing against each other in a big league game. I saw their coach was out in Baltimore to see him pitch. But, you know, Kobe and Enrique playing 11 U-ball together. You know, the picture that Kobe tweeted out was them holding off, showing off their rings, and the graphic shows 11 U champs on it.
Hopefully not the last rings they wear in their careers.
Got to recreate that picture in Orioles jerseys. Throw to second. The second baseman easily was nowhere close to the bag. Santos wanted to check on Bradfield. Count's still 2-2 on Mayo. On earlier this week, or I guess during the last homestand, I followed up about it this week. Talked to Matt Horvath and Tavian Josenberger. They didn't play with each other growing up, but they played against each other in a tournament in the Kansas City area. And now they're teammates about a decade later. Mayo laces one down the left field line, foul. But I just think that's the coolest thing. You cross paths with somebody earlier in life, and then you're playing pro ball against each other. And I think Mayo broke his bat.
Imagine breaking your bat and still hitting it that hard, that far.
Didn't sound like he broke it.
It sounded like he broke a wall or something out there.
Yeah, hit it into that left field party porch.
Yeah, but, I mean, with as many tournaments and little events that they do between the college and high school baseball seasons, it's not that uncommon that these guys run into each other. I know Joey Ortiz used to play at the stadium in summer ball way back when.
2-2 on Mayo with Bradfield out at second. No outs, bottom of the third. We're tied at two. Santos, a quick look at second. Bradfield, a big secondary as Mayo swings and misses. And he has gone on strikes for out number one. That brings up Mac Horvath. Some more numbers on Santos. I mentioned the 2.24 ERA and the 70 punchouts coming in. Entering tonight's game, he ranked second in the South Atlantic League in ERA, fourth in strikeouts, seventh in whip, and eighth in batting average against. So he has been one of the best all season long in this league. Birds have gotten to him for two runs on four hits early.
Yeah, certainly the bats holding their own here against a great arm.
Two doubles and two singles for the Birds. Hodo got it started with a double to left. Bradfield singled to center, got the second on the throw. That's what tied the game. And you can tell that Santos is really worried about Bradfield as Bradfield gets back to the second base bag. Santos stepped off, and a situation like that, Bob, you can just tell that the pitcher's sole focus is not on the batter. I mean, he's thinking about Bradfield, of course.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure hitters love batting when Bradfield's on base, not only because he could steal and get into scoring position, but distract the pitcher enough that he might leave a meatball right down the middle of the plate.
Horvath takes a strike. It's 0-2. Mac grounded out to short his first time up, but even when Mac is making outs the last couple weeks, they're hard-hit balls. He stung it to short.
Yeah, he got off to a slow start, but I was never too worried. I think he's got a lot of potential as he strikes out there.
Yeah, but you know, that's what happens when you're in the broadcast booth. You start making a point. But that is out number three here in the bottom of the third. But the Birds tie it. Oh, that's the second out. I was going to say, well, now we got more time to talk about it. But, yeah, to the point about Horvath, Bob, yeah, I mean, a slow start, but one where you see the quality of the at-bats, even though he's not getting the results. You knew it was only a matter of time.
Yeah, exactly. Hitting the ball on the ground maybe a little bit too much, but when you hit it that hard, it's only a matter of time before it drops in.
Here's Creed Willems. Pitch misses low. Counts 1-0. Birds and Crawdads tied at 2, bottom 3. Bradfield still at second. Willems struck out swinging his first time up. Four strikeouts for Santos tonight. Looks at second to the plate. Willems fouls one back. Well, I had a chance to meet Creed's parents during batting practice today. And they were telling me they listen to every game. Even when Creed's not playing, they're tuned into the broadcast, which I think is so awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, they've got the reminders set. They're saying, like, you know, they get asked to go do something, go out to dinner or something with people. Now, can't. Game's on.
Gotta love it. Yeah, Creed is a fun guy to watch. And we've really enjoyed watching his improvement over the past couple years. Seems like every year he's just incrementally better than the one before.
A lot of Creed content on that On the Verge Twitter feed for sure.
Absolutely. We love that walk-off earlier this week.
He's up to 10 homers and 38 RBIs. OPS over 800. 1-2 pitch coming up. Tying away. And talked to Creed. He was my pregame guest yesterday talking about that walk-off. And he said his dad was down the first baseline with his mom, too, and he saw his dad's hands go up as he hit it, as he's trotting to first. I mean, that's awesome.
It's got to be an awesome feeling. Only 21 years old, too.
Bradfield takes off for third. Pitches a called strike three on the inner half. I don't know about that one. That's a tough one, but Willems is down on strikes. So three straight punch-outs for Santos to work around Bradfield at second with no outs. Three innings in the books here in the Dean. We'll head to the top of the fourth, and the Birds and Crawdads tied at two. Keep it locked on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office at tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
Levi Wells back to work in the top of the fourth inning. We're tied at two in game five of this six-game series, Ironbirds and Crawdads. Sebastian Walcott, Luis Mieses, and Yossi Galan, 4-5-6, due up for the Dads. Wells is at 50 pitches, 34 strikes, a really good split right there. He's only allowed two hits tonight, a homer and a double. But the homer came with a man on base with two outs in the third. That's how the Crawdads got their two runs. Birds answered with one of their own in the home half of the second to tie it. Douglas Hodo a double to left, and Enrique Bradfield Jr. singled him home. So first pitch to Walcott is in for a strike. Walcott popped to third his first time up. Next pitch, swing and a miss, and a nasty slider. I mean, you pair that with that 97 and up fastball, Bob, that's almost unhittable.
Yeah, that's tough. That's why a lot of outlets think he could move quickly if he was a pure relief prospect from that fastball-slider combination right there.
0-2, nasty breaking ball, bottom of the zone, strike three called, and it's another strikeout for Levi Wells. He's got six now in the game, and he is well on his way to blowing past a career high tonight. His career high is seven. He did that on May 11th at home against Hudson Valley. Bob, I got a good feeling he's going to pass it tonight. I'm feeling it.
Good luck over here.
Luis Mieses steps in. First baseman takes a ball just off the plate, counts 1-0. So take me through the process of planning an episode of the podcast. I mean, how much goes into it, and what's the planning process like?
Yeah, it's a good point. it's easy when there's certain weeks in the season where it's like, okay, this is the week where we do this, but usually it's just like, all right, let's see how the week goes along. You know, if there's an interesting point, we can dive in deeper. Zach puts in the notes together for us, and Sorry, let that pitch go. And then we kind of, nowadays, this year, for the first time, we split our episodes into two, a major league episode, a minor league episode, and then sometimes a third. But, yeah, it's basically we just play off of what's happening on the field and kind of spin it into a bigger conversation.
2-1 pitch from Wells. High chopper to the first baseman, Costas. Underhand flip to Wells at first. And a 3-1 put out is out number two in the fourth. So Wells is locked back in. Birds and Dads tied at two in the top of the fourth. How much notes do you guys have prepared when you go into a podcast? And how much is coming off the top of the head from just stuff that you're plugged into throughout the weeks?
I can only speak to myself. It's mostly off the dome, yeah. Off the top of my head. Just, you know, this is part of my daily...
Yeah.
Daily, my wife will tell you, again, she loves baseball, but it's just always get in my head. I'm always looking at stuff, so it kind of sticks a little bit better. But I do some notes.
1-0, half-hearted check swing. Gallon went around. Count is 1-1. Well, see a lot of swings like that from the opposition here in Aberdeen. Those check swings where batter's a little indecisive.
Yeah, it's a good sign.
Credit to this pitching staff.
Absolutely.
Just the nasty stuff that everybody has. 1-1. I know Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja, calls them swords. I yeah. love that.
Yep. It's make the batter look silly. That's what the pitcher's trying to do.
Foul back. Counts 2-2 on Gallon. Base is empty. Two down. Bird's looking to keep this a tie game as well as looks to complete the fourth. There is bullpen action for the Ironbirds. A right-hander's throwing. 2-2, fouled away. Well, if this fourth inning is it for Wells, he's looked really good tonight. He's got a chance to tie his career high of 7 strikeouts with 1 here. See if he can do it.
Yeah, nice to see him bounce back after that last inning.
2-2 pitch outside, counts full. Great crowd on hand here in Aberdeen for Marvel Defenders of the Diamond Night. The theme night's always a good turnout. The Ironbirds wearing Marvel-themed jerseys tonight. And there's a jersey auction going on online. Those will be officially auctioned off after the game. 3-2, just missed inside. That's ball four. That's Wells' first walk of the game. And, Bob, we talked about it earlier. Getting those walk numbers down is huge for any pitcher. But for a guy with as good of stuff as Wells has, you know, he gets those walk numbers down, it's going to be smooth sailing, and only one tonight is huge.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you have this good of stuff, you know, it's kind of like Chase McDermott up in AAA. Let them hit it, because even if they do, it's going to be weak contact. So,
runner at first with two down. First pitch outside to Muller, the catcher. Mayo at third is deep and off the line. Young is straight away at short. Horvath deep and shading up the middle out at second. Big hole on that right side with Costas holding on Gallon at first. Gallon takes off, pitches high. Here's the throw from Willems. It's a good one. The tag from Horvath. Oh, he's safe.
Whoa.
Horvath looks stunned. Everybody in the Birds infield was headed back to the dugout. It was kind of a late safe call there.
Yeah, that was interesting, to say the least. I thought it was a great throw by Creed, great tag by Horvath, but let's go to the replay in minor league baseball.
I thought he was out.
Looked out to me as well.
Still tied at two. Go-ahead runs at second. 2-0 pitch. Liner over Horvath's head into right center as Prado picks it up, and he'll just chuck it into second. It's a two-out RBI single for Ian Muller. That's the third two-out run for the Crawdads tonight. And another one, Bob, that could have been avoided. Of course, the errors happened. That's what led to the two runs in the third inning. But there, looked like Willems and Horvath teamed up to, you know, get that caught stealing, and it just didn't get called.
Yeah, I wonder. Obviously, the umpire might have a little bit better view than us. Maybe he saw something we didn't, but yeah, probably should have been out of the inning there. But that's there where the walks will come back to bite you.
And that's it for Levi Wells. He is done after 3 2/3 innings of work. Final line score is not going to look that great, but he pitched really well tonight. Retired the first 8 batters he faced. He ends the night with 6 strikeouts. He was really good. Don't let that box score fool you. One of his better outings. New arm coming in for the Birds. We'll let you know who it is when we come back. Runner at first with two down, Birds down 3-2, top of the fourth. Stay locked in on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Levi Wells is done. Right-hander Zane Barnhart is the new pitcher for the Iron Birds, who trail the Crawdads 3-2, top of the fourth inning. Two outs and Ian Moeller at first. He just delivered an RBI single, scoring Yossi Galan, who stole second and then got in on the knock. Well, now Barnhart steps off because the outfielders weren't in place. Zane has better numbers at high A than he does at low A this year. In 10 appearances with the Iron Birds, a 1.26 ERA. First pitch, breaking ball to Ben Blackwell, the eight-hole hitter, misses in. Oh, it was in for a strike, so it didn't miss.
Yeah, Barnhart, another guy with pretty good stuff that just need to get those walks down a little bit.
20 strikeouts, 14 walks, and 14 and a third at high A. Swing and a miss, good breaking ball there. Barnhart has a fastball, a changeup, a cutter, and a sweeper.
Love a reliever with a bunch of pitches. That's fun.
Yeah, and you go up and down this Ironbirds pitching staff. Consistently 4 and 5 pitches for these guys. Pitch up and in. I mean, Zach Fruit and Preston Johnson both have 5. I always love calling their games because they've just, 5 pitches to work with. It just keeps the hitter guessing.
Yeah, I like both of those guys a lot. Fruit, he's got an electric arm. Preston coming back from Tommy John.
1-2, swinging a foul tip. He just got a piece. A lot of similarities with the arms on this Iron Birds roster. I mean, the same thing last year. It seems like everybody coming out of the pen. Same velo, same break, similar arm slots for a lot of the guys.
I guess you could say the Orioles have a type.
You could say that. 1-2, up the middle, that's a base hit. First and second now as Blackwell has his first knock. That brings up Jace Easley. Birds down 3-2 here in the fourth. The line is not closed on Levi Wells. He's responsible for the runner out at second, but at this point, 3 2/3, gave up 3 hits, pitched really well. 6 strikeouts, only 1 walk, 67 pitches, 43 strikes. Barnhart trying to work out of this. 2 on, 2 outs. Switch hitter easily batting left, takes low. Easily the sixth man to hit in the inning. Wells had the first two in order, then he walked Galan. That's what started this Hickory rally. 1-0 outside, it's 2-0. Got Bob Phelan from the Orioles on the Verge podcast with me in the broadcast booth, talking a little bit about the podcast and the coverage that they do on the Orioles minor league system through and through. 2-0. Flipped out of play, and it's 2-1.
Yeah, we try to be kind of like, I feel like the Orioles as an organization, anyone that's here, they're giving them a shot to, it's like no prospect left behind. Like, they could find something good out of any player in the organization, and we try to be the same way with our coverage of them.
2-1. I mean, I love seeing the tweets every night, just recaps of games down on the farm.
but also some deeper dives into positive trends for players, whether it's a pitcher or a position player. You guys are diving into the advanced numbers, the StatCast data.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, we're not like this day and age. There's some real wizards out there when it comes to the analytics and stuff. We try to dip our toes in, but it's very interesting for sure. I love how much data is available. We only want more.
Two balls, two strikes, two outs, two on. Pitch from Barnhart's outside. Count is full. So are all three of you big analytics guys?
I'd say we're pretty similar, yeah. I mean, we appreciate what the analytics are saying. And then sometimes, you know, there's the old school thing where it's just the eye test and the regular old scouting report.
Ground ball to Costas. Nice
play.
Sliding stop. Underhand flip to Barnhart covering, and they get the out. Nice play by Maxwell Costas. Lost his hat in the process. Flipped it over to Barnhart from the seat of his pants. And the inning is over. So it's one run on two hits, no errors. Two men left on. The Crawdads strike for the go-ahead run. It's 3-2 after 3.5, but we'll go to the bottom of the fourth and see if the Birds can get some more runs. Keep it locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live. We go to the bottom of the fourth inning in Aberdeen. Birds trail the Crawdads 3-2 in Game 5 of this six-game series. The Crawdads regain the lead with a run on a couple of hits with two outs in the fourth. And here we are in the home half of the fourth. Prado, Young, and Retzbach. Prado lined out his first time up, and then Young and Retzbach singled and doubled respectively. So this part of the order swinging it well. We'll see if the Birds can regain the lead. A lot of back-and-forth scoring tonight. Birds grabbed a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the second. And there have not been any zeros in the half-inning spots on the scoreboard since. First pitch to Prado is a fastball from Winston Santos. It's a strike. Well, I mentioned the South Atlantic League ranks for Santos earlier in the broadcast. But among all high-A pitchers, he's right up there as well. Prado takes another ball. Coming into tonight, fifth in ERA among all high-A arms, ninth in strikeouts, and fourth in Ks per nine. 1-1, swing and a miss. His last start was his best of the season. Six innings of one-run ball with eight strikeouts and no walks. He's fanned seven or more on seven different occasions this year. He has five tonight. Strikeouts just part of the game nowadays, so I mean, consistently pitchers are averaging over a strikeout per inning, but the numbers that Santos has, they're impressive. Chopper behind the second base bag easily has it over to first, one up, one down. So we were talking before the break, Bob, about analytics and, you know, how much you guys are locked into it and, you know, posting some things on Twitter. What are some of your favorite stats to look at? Like the ones that tell the big picture for you.
Yeah, for sure. In as a general whole, offensively, I like WRC plus. But really, walk rate and strikeout rate, I think, tell a lot, especially in the lower levels. if a guy's not striking out a lot, it's a great sign. Obviously, the more you walk, I think it just shows that you have good swing decisions and good plate discipline at the plate, obviously.
Yeah, those are two of the big ones that I look at. I love, you know, of course, strikeout percentage and walk percentage, but also strikeouts per nine, walks per nine for pitchers.
Absolutely.
Carter Young has the count 2-0, and he hits it hard on the ground to second. Easily has it. Two up, two down on a couple of ground outs. That brings up Retzbach.
Yeah, for pitchers, I almost like strikeout percentage a little bit better than strikeout per nine, just because I feel like it tells a little bit more of a complete story, but similar numbers.
Yeah. With Ks per nine, you know, of course, that's big for relievers because you want to see, you know, when they're going one or two innings, you really want to know how that would look over a nine-inning period. But, you know, the percentage, yeah, you're right. It tells a little more because, you know, out of this many batters, this is how many strikeouts you're getting out of, you know, 100. You know,
yeah, for sure.
You know, strikeout rate at 32%. He's striking out 32 batters in 100 that he faces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big OPS plus and ERA plus guy because, you know, and of course weighted runs created plus because they all, you know, 100 league average, and it's really easy to see who's performing well, who's not. If it's under 100, it's below league average. If it's over 100, it's above league average.
Yeah, exactly. And high A right now, I feel like it's kind of a low run scoring environment, so you might look at someone's OPS. Like Enrique Bradfield, I believe it's 740 on the season, but it's a 104 WRC plus.
Well, Retzbach just took a called strike three. Tough call there. The Birds go down 1-2-3 quickly, and we are through four here in Aberdeen. Birds trail 3-2. We'll head to the top of the fifth and see if the Birds can keep things where they are. One-run game here at the Dean. Stay with us on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Top of inning number five from Leidos Field at Ripken's Stadium. Marvel defenders of the Diamond Knight in the Dean tonight. The Ironbirds looking to defend this diamond. They currently trail 3-2 as we open up play in the fifth. And time quickly called because the bullpen gate down the right field line was still open. Zane Barnhart's back to work after he got the final out of the fourth. First pitch from Zane misses low and in to the leadoff man Alejandro Ozuna, who ripped a two-run homer to left back in the third. He struck out swinging his first time. So Ozuna, Cauley, and Morabell. Count 1-1 as that pitch is fouled away. Well, before the break, talking to Bob about some advanced analytics and some numbers and some different stats that, you know, he looks at, what I look at when evaluating how players are doing when, you know, we do our prep work for our, you know, for me here calling games in Aberdeen, for Bob, you doing the podcast. I mean, there's so many different stats out there now. I mean, some of them, you know, I'm a baseball guy. I generally know most of them. Sometimes I got to look it up and be like, what is this? Fly ball to deep right. Hodo's going back, and he makes the catch.
No sun in his eyes now. Yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know how they come up with it, but, like, a lot of places have their own stuff plus numbers for certain pitches. I love looking at it. I couldn't, you know, tell you exactly how they came up with it, but it's interesting.
So one up, one down for Barnhart. And now he gets Cameron Cauley, who doubled his last time up. Each team with four hits. Birds down 3-2. Next pitch from Barnhart. He missed just inside. And it's 1-0 on Cauley.
We were talking about strikeout rate and walk rate for pitchers. Barnhart has a 12.5 strikeout per nine, almost nine walks per nine at this point in his high A tenure. Yeah, so you can see he's got good stuff, just got to control a little bit
more.
You
see it a lot. High strikeout totals, high walk totals for a lot of these young arms. Well, Barnhart's ready to go, but Cauley asked for time. He stepped out to readjust his batting gloves. Barnhart doesn't want to let him get comfortable. 1-1, swing and a miss. Barnhart was a 17th round pick last year out of Division II Hillsdale College in Michigan. He was committed to West Virginia before the 2023 season as he picks up a strikeout there. But then he got drafted and decided to sign. I mean, that's not a bad alternative. Instead of going to play D1 ball, you get to play pro ball.
Yeah, not at all. And that's the thing. The Orioles aren't afraid to go Division II, Division III, community college. You know, they'll scour the ends of the earth to try to find talent.
Here's Jason Morbell. Two up, two down for Barnhart. There's a strike. It's 0-1. Barnhart went from being ranked as the 387th overall player in the state of Ohio as a high school senior to getting drafted less than 4 years later. That's big time right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Played for the Mahoning Valley Scrappers in the MLB Draft League last summer. 10 games, gave up just 2 earned runs in 18 innings. You know, and that's what put him on a lot of organizations' radars. Hit 99 miles an hour in his first outing with the Scrappers. Here's a guy who weighed 170 pounds entering college. Definitely put on some size. It's definitely helped with the velo as well.
Absolutely.
1-2. Chopper over his head. The shortstop, Young, has it behind the bag, and he throws over to first. It's a 1-2-3 fifth inning for Zane Barnhart, and he does a job for the Birds as the Ironbirds keep the Crawdads off the scoreboard for the first time since the second inning. Well, it's the third time the Crawdads have gone down 1-2-3, but the Birds still trail. It's 3-2 Hickory. We'll go to the bottom of the fifth next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom five in Aberdeen, Hickory 3, Aberdeen 2. Birds looking for some more runs. They got one in the second, one in the third. And here we are in the fifth. Costas, Hodo, and Bradfield, 8-9-1. Each team with four hits in the game. Winston Santos, the Hickory starter, is still out there. He has 6 strikeouts. He's picked up 4 of them in the last 2 innings, and he's retired the last 6 that he's faced. Bradfield, who singled in the third, that's the last base runner for the Birds. Costas took a strike. It's 0-1. Santos working quickly now, and Costas takes high. Well, Maxwell made a really nice sliding stop over at first a couple innings ago to help Barnhart get out of an inning. Barnhart just fired a 1-2-3 inning in his first full inning of relief. 1-1, Costas takes a strike, and the count is 1-2. Well, Bob, you mentioned earlier that Mike Elias quote tweeted a tweet from you guys, you know, the year that you started the podcast. That got you thousands of followers pretty quickly after that. Elias follows the pod on Twitter. Is it him, or is there another guy that you'd say is the most famous follower of the podcast?
I mean, I have to say it's probably him.
Yeah.
To be honest, I haven't scoured the 13,000 followers. Maybe there's someone more famous.
Got to sift through at some point.
Yeah, exactly. That would be interesting to find out.
Counts 2-2 on Costas. Next pitch from Santos. Popped up right side of the diamond into shallow right. Morabell's in, Easley is out. And it's Morabell, the right fielder, who makes the catch. So that's 7 in a row set down by Santos. It brings up Hodo, who doubled his last time up and scored the tying run at the time. You guys have done a ton of interviews over the years. It's got to be hard to pick one, but is there one that stands out as your personal favorite?
Yeah, it's Eve Rosenbaum. When we had her on the podcast last year, it just was a great interview. She's a great person to talk to in general, but very enlightening. She talked about how they came up with the lineups at the major league level, and it got some airtime on 105.7 The Fan, thanks to Ken Weinman, and I think he was playing snippets of it on the radio, yeah. And I got, like, family texting me, hey, just heard your voice on the radio, so that was cool.
That was so cool. Well, we've had the Inside Access crew out to do their show here twice within the last couple homestands. Ken, Tim, and Jason, it's been cool having them here, but, yeah, I mean, that had to have been a fascinating interview, just hearing from somebody in a big league front office, and I know you guys have had Elias on in the past. So, I mean, there just has to be such a wealth of knowledge from people like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, from Kobe Perez to Matt Blood to we just had Anthony Villa come on earlier this year. He was a great interview as well. Yeah, it's always interesting when you get those guys on.
Hodo takes ball four. He's reached safely in both of his plate appearances tonight. And we go back to the top for Enrique Bradfield Jr., who tied the game in the third with a single up the middle. He was fired up. The Crawdads since regained the lead. And now, respecting Bradfield's speed, Blackwell over at third comes up a little bit. Middle infielder's back. First baseman Mieses holding on Hodo. Skipped in the dirt. It goes to the backstop. Hodo gets to second easily. And he takes the turn around there, stops there. That helps the cause. It could be the same answer here, but what would you say was your best interview overall, you and the guys?
That is a good question.
Making you think here on the broadcast.
yeah, always a good thing,
well,
right?
Well, we've got time because a mound visit right now for Hickory as Hickory pitching coach Julio Valdez goes out to chat with the entire Crawdads infield. Bird's down 3-2 with tying run at second and Bradfield at the plate. So, I mean, there's just so many interviews that you could possibly pick from. But, and you can interpret best in a lot of different ways. You know, you guys asking the best questions, getting the best answers from somebody.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Peake was our first player interview. That was a lot of fun. The coaching staff, the fielding coach that we had on twice now, he was fantastic. The fact that he's tearing up at the end of that interview was really cool.
Well, that's when you know you're asking the right questions. You're getting some tears. So Hodo at second as Bradfield skies one to left center field. Gallan is over, and he makes the catch in the gap. Hodo stays put at second, and that's the second out of the fifth.
Name value, we've had Connor Norby, Kobe Mayo on there, so that's always exciting.
Yeah, player-wise, who would you say is the most notable guest that you've had?
Probably the guy that's about to bat right now.
Good timing. Kobe Mayo steps into the right-handed batter's box for the third time tonight. He's 0-for-2 with a couple of strikeouts, but he reached in 5 of his 6 plate appearances the last 2 nights. He's the go-ahead run. Love a Mayo bomb right now. First pitch from Santos as Mayo blasts one to deep left field. Gallan is back, looking up, and it lands on the warning track. It stays in the park, but Hodo is in to score, and Mayo pulls in at second with a game-tying RBI double. Oh, man, if that ball had gotten out, how awesome would that would have been after I just said that?
Yeah, good timing, to say the least.
Oh, that would have been sick.
Yeah, I really think Kobe Mayo is poised to be another cornerstone for the Baltimore Orioles along the lines of Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman,
Well, I've talked about it the last two nights. I mean, the offensive numbers are ridiculous at every level. 77 extra base hits in a full season last year.
Yeah, it's absurd. The natural power. And it's only going to get bigger, better. He's only 22 years old, so.
I think people forget how young he is.
Yeah.
High school draft pick. During that COVID-shortened draft.
Just continues to refine his game year after year.
So Mayo now has four extra base hits, three doubles and a homer, and three RBIs in three games on this rehab stint. And now Horvath a chance to drive in the go-ahead run, and maybe more. 1-0 pitch from Santos. Breaking ball catches the top of the zone. It's 1-1. We're tied at three. The back-and-forth scoring continues. Mayo almost got one out. A little bit of wind, and that would have been over. If he hit it maybe 5 feet to the left, it would have been over.
Exactly.
Hit it to one of the deeper parts of the park.
It's tough in the gaps here.
Well, we've talked about how locked in Horvath is right now. That foul ball to the backstop right there, you can tell he is.
Oh, yeah. That's always a good sign when you hit it straight back. And it's interesting. Coby Mayo and Mac Horvath, same age. One just got drafted out of college, one out of high school. You can see the difference, the paths that these guys can take.
1-2-2 out pitch coming up. Here it is, swing and a miss. And Horvath chased low and away. That is the third out. Another strikeout for Santos, give him seven. And he's now fanned seven or more for the eighth time this year. But the Birds tie the game on Coby Mayo's two-out RBI double to left center field. So we're knotted at three through five. And we'll head to the top of the sixth and see if Zane Barnhart can keep it where it is. Stay locked in on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Tied at three here in Aberdeen, top of the sixth inning. Coby Mayo's two-out RBI double to the warning track in left center. Tied things up as Douglas Hodo scored from second on it. Hodo walked, got to second on a wild pitch. And that's what helped the Birds get another run. So we are knotted at three as Zane Barnhart goes back out for another inning. Birds looking to keep this game tied. And Barnhart gets a swing and a miss from Sebastian Walcott. And the count is 0-2.
Yeah, it's a shame Coby Mayo only has warning track power, or this game would be a little bit different.
Got to get back in the weight room. Counts 0-2 on Walcott, who steps out. Barnhart's working fast. He seems to like the pace that he's at. Staying locked in. More bullpen action for the Birds right now. 0-2, got him. Nasty sweeper low and away. It's another strikeout for Zane Barnhart. Give him two. And he's retired the last five that he's faced.
Nice to have a reliever that can go into their third inning.
And it's nice to see the plan that this Ironbirds coaching staff and throughout the Orioles organization, it's nice to see the plan fall into place of getting these guys comfortable working multiple innings out of the pen, you know, sitting down for a half inning, then going back out there and doing it multiple times in a game.
Yeah, easier to do that and then learn to go one inning at a time afterwards. Then vice versa.
1-0 foul back from Miesis. It's 1-1. Talking a little bit about Barnhart's story during the last inning. He was a two-way player entering college, but stopped
hitting shortly after to focus on pitching. He didn't receive any D1 offers going into college. His only D2 offer was from Hillsdale. He took it. And then a couple years later, he has an opportunity to go play D1 ball at West Virginia, and he passed up on that opportunity only because he got drafted and decided to sign. Graham Fyrovet up in the Birds bullpen. But it's just a really cool story for Zane.
Yeah, I mean, it's the dream, right, to play professional baseball. I'm sure that's what you want to do, but also nice to have on your ledger that you can you say you were offered a scholarship at a college too.
How about another strikeout? Back-to-back punchies here in the sixth. And he's got a shot in another 1-2-3 inning. Well, no, he doesn't. Because Felipe Alou Jr. is out of the Ironbirds dugout. He motions to the bullpen. And he's going to take the baseball from Barnhart. But Barnhart completes two innings, got the final out of the fourth, a 1-2-3 fifth, and retires both batters that he faced here in the sixth. So Fyrovet's ready. He's coming in. We'll tell you more about him and get you some more details when we come back. So we're tied at three, top of the sixth, two outs, no one on. Stay locked in on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Back here in the top of the sixth inning, pitching change for the Ironbirds. Two outs and no one on after a couple of Zane Barnhart strikeouts. Graham Fyrovet, the new arm. One right-hander to another. Fyrovet, the third pitcher of the game for the Birds. Levi Wells started, went the first 3 2/3, then two innings from Barnhart. Now Fyrovet. Birds looking to keep this game tied. Game five of a six-game series between Aberdeen and Hickory. First and only time the Crawdads are in town this season. Birds looking for their fourth straight win. Dropped the series opener, but won the last three as Fyrovet starts Gallant off with a strike. It's 0-1.
Fyrovet, another guy with good stuff, but a lot of walks. He's got a really good fastball, despite the lower velocity.
0-1. Breaking ball there, and that's in for a strike. It's 0-2. Fyrovet has four pitches to work with. A four-seam fastball, a changeup, a curveball, and a sweeper. Way ahead now. See if he can pick up a punch-out. Gallant ready in the box. So is Fyrovet, and he does pick up a punch-out. Good fastball outer half. And it's three pitches, three strikes for Graham Fyrovet. So Barnhart and Fyrovet combined to strike out the side in order in the sixth. And that is already the fourth time tonight that the Crawdads have gone down in order. We're still tied at 3-5.5. We'll head to the bottom of the sixth after another break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network.
Does your local Harford, Cecil, or Baltimore County business want more customers? Advertise with the Ironbirds and take advantage of the best local entertainment venue in the area. Contact the Ironbirds at partners@goironbirds.com or call us at 410-297-9292 for more information. Join local companies like Leidos, Horizon Cinemas, The Olive Tree, and more by advertising with the Ironbirds. Every Sunday at the ballpark this season is Sunday Family Fun Day presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Prior to the game, play catch on the field like the Ironbirds starting at 1 p.m., and after the game, it's kids run the bases. Get a ticket to one of our remaining Sunday home games now at goironbirds.com. That's Sunday Family Fun Day presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Red, White, and Boom is back for 2024. On Thursday, July 4th, Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium will host our annual Independence Day Family Festival with on-field games, live music, a kids' zone, concessions, and fireworks at the end of the night.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA property management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office@tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
We move to the home half of the sixth inning here in Aberdeen. Aberdeen 3, Hickory 3. It's been a good one tonight. Michael Mark Cantonini and Bob Phelan of the Orioles On the Verge podcast with you in the booth tonight. 4-5-6 for the Birds, Willems, Prado, and Young against Winston Santos, who is still out there. 69 pitches for him so far tonight. He's racked up 7 strikeouts. He's allowed the 3 runs on 5 hits, but he's been pretty solid.
Yeah, you can see the arm talent for sure.
Counts quickly 1-0 on Willems. And he grounds one up the middle. Sliding stop by Easley. Gets up, throws to first in time to get Creed. I mean, Bob, he has definitely shown flashes tonight, and you see why he came into tonight's game with the numbers that he has.
Yeah. Yeah, the Iron Birds have earned their 3 runs, that's for sure. A lot of fast players on the Iron Birds. Creed Willems, unfortunately, not one of them.
He definitely ranks towards the lower half in terms of speed. Runs well for a catcher, I'll say that.
For sure. You can tell he's gotten in much better shape over the last couple years.
And that was one thing that I talked to Creed about during spring training this year, because I know he's done a lot of work to, you know, like so many of these guys are, to get in pro baseball shape. It's a lot different than high school or college baseball shape. I mean, it's such a grind of a season. And it's been cool talking to all these guys about, you know, what their diet is like, you know, nutrition and weight training and all that. There's so much that goes into it behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's underreported, just the grind of a minor league baseball season. In the majors, you're on first class flights. You got all your meals prepped. It's a little bit different down here.
1-2 pitch coming up to Elio Prado, and he sends one up the middle off the glove of Cauley into center. Cauley gave it everything he had on a full extension dive. Couldn't quite come up with it, so a base hit for Prado, and the go-ahead runner is on with one out for Carter Young, who has hit the ball hard twice tonight.
Elio Prado is an interesting prospect. He's got all the tools. Just like to see him be more consistent, put it all together at some point.
He's on a little bit of a heater right now. Prado, a multi-hit game last night, his 10th of the season. And with a hit tonight, he extends his season-long hitting streak to 7 games. So here's Young, who's hit safely in 3 in a row. Entering tonight, now it's 4. That's a season-long for him. Counts 0-1, Prado takes off for second. Young takes a strike, throw down is in time. The tag is also in time, and Prado's caught stealing for the second out here in the 6th.
Looks safer than the Creed Willems throw from earlier, but
he looked a little bit surprised as he was called out there.
Umpires get a lot of guff. We'll let it slide this time.
2 outs, no one on. Counts 0-2 on Young. Still tied at 3 in the home 6th. It's way inside to Carter. The count is 1-2.
Yeah, Carter Young, a big bonus out of the, I think, 2022 draft. Hasn't really made much of an impact yet.
Hits the ball hard. That's one thing we know, as he's done twice tonight, but he goes down on strikes there. So no runs on 1 hit, no errors, and none left because of the caught stealing. 6 in the books here in Aberdeen. We are still knotted at 3. We'll head to the top of the 7th after another quick break on MILB TV and Valley Live. Top of the seventh inning in Aberdeen. We're tied at 3, Aberdeen and Hickory, in game 5 of a 6-game series. The finale of the series tomorrow at 2:05 Eastern. Birds hoping to go into that series finale with 4 straight wins. They've won 3 in a row. Can they add another tonight? As Graham Fyrved goes back to work in the 7th. He got the final out of the 6th on 3 pitches, and he misses outside to the catcher, Ian Moeller. It's Moeller, Blackwell, and Easley. Fyrved's last appearance was June 11th, so he pitched in the series opener. Gave up 1 run in 2 innings with 2 strikeouts. Sky to left center field, not too deep. Bradfield calls everybody off, and he makes the catch, drifting over a little bit more towards center. So Moeller's retired on a couple of pitches. Well, Bob, I know you guys do this podcast and you spend a lot of time with the On the Verge pod, and you've done such a good job over the last few years since you started it in March of 2020. But I know you guys have day jobs, and, you know, you do other things. So what do you do for work?
I'm a mailman in White Marsh, Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah, so I get to drive around listening to podcasts all day.
Yeah.
So not too bad.
So you deliver during the day, and then you deliver to Orioles fans at night.
I like that. I like that.
How about Zach and Nick? What do they do?
You know what? I should probably know that. I'm sure they do something very important.
Yeah. You guys talk baseball all the time. I guess you don't get to talk about the day jobs that often.
Typical guys, right?
Yeah.
When the guys get together, it's all about sports.
Right. No, that's exactly it. Tied at 3, top of the 7th inning. Graham Fyrved looks to throw up a 0. 1-1, fouled back. It's 1-2. I mean, it helps to have, you know, a job like you do where it's set hours all the time. So you know that you've got time during these days, these nights, these hours to, you know, get the podcast stuff done.
Yeah, 100%. And, yeah, my evenings are always going to be free. Can listen to the games if they're on during the day.
Another strikeout for Fyrved. And it's 3-up, 3-down for Graham out of the pen.
Also get a chance to listen to other people analyze baseball and educate myself. Like, I like the Rates and Barrels podcast. Eno Saris on there is a good one.
Graham looking for a 1-2-3 inning. Here's Jace Easley, the switch hitter, batting from the left side. Corners up a little bit for the Birds, about even with the bag, and the middle infielder's deep. Bradfield is in and left. Prado, normal depth in center. Same with Hodo and right. Fyrved set. 0-1. That pitch misses downstairs. Been a really well-played game on both sides tonight. Pitching's been solid. A little back-and-forth scoring. Not a ton of scoring. Just 6 combined runs. 1-1. Outside corner for a strike. It's 1-2.
Maybe we'll get some extra innings tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we saw 10 innings, what was it, 2 nights ago. I mean, the days all run together at this point. Tonight's Saturday. Yeah, we had extra innings. It was Thursday. And extra innings are always fun when the Ironbirds win. When we go extras and they don't, it's like, well, you know, that could have just happened in 9.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Orioles games last night against the Phillies.
Yeah, that game was nuts. Two of the best teams in baseball. Potential 2024 World Series matchup. We'll find out. Chopper off of Fyrved's glove out to second. Horvath picks it up, throws to first. Not in time. Well, it looked like Easley did beat it.
Yeah, he looked safe to me.
So nice job by Horvath to kind of change direction there as that one was tipped off of Fyrved's glove. So a base hit for Easley, and he's the go-ahead run at first.
Nice look at Horvath's defense at second base. Looked good to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's been all over the diamond this year. He says that he feels most comfortable at third. That's his more natural position where he feels best. But the fact that he's played both corner outfield spots and as well as second and third, Easley takes off for second, and he's there without a throw. Pitch was low.
It's a great jump, too. I mean,
Horvath's a guy who pitched and played shortstop growing up. And then he plays mainly third in college, a little bit of outfield. And then in pro ball, he's regularly playing 4 positions.
Yeah, just a great athlete to be able to do that.
His UNC Tar Heels in the College World Series, one of the final eight to get to Omaha. His roommate Jackson Ballmeister's Florida State Seminoles are there as well. Yes. They might not be talking to each other for a while if their two squads meet, and depending on the result.
Yeah, you could see that. I'm sure they wish it was last year that these matchups were happening. But crazy to think that the draft is only a few weeks away now.
Yeah. How plugged in are you guys to the draft every year?
It's a weak spot for me personally. Nick is really on top of the college baseball season. I'm more of a let's see who they pick and analyze it later guy.
1-1. Down the left field line. It's a fair ball. It's going all the way into the corner. Easley's in to score from second. And Ozuna pulls in with his second extra base hit of the night. So Alejandro Ozuna makes the Birds pay again. And all four Hickory runs tonight are with two outs.
It's a nice piece of hitting right there.
That's the second time he's gone to left. The homer that got out in the third inning was to left. And now a double down the line. Been a weird game on Hickory's side of the scorecard because now into the seventh inning, the three innings that they've scored in, they've done damage. The other four innings, they've gone down 1-2-3 in each of them.
It's an all or nothing offense.
And it's all with two outs. So here's the two-hole hitter, Cam Cauley. Counts quickly 1-0. Four runs on six hits for Hickory, three runs on six hits for Aberdeen. Graham looks over at second. Next pitch, low and away, squirts away from Willems, but he picks it up. And Ozuna stays put. So you said it's Nick who runs the Twitter account mainly, right?
Yeah, he does a great job with that. Staying on top of all the highlights and everything.
And one of the things I like the most is the Welcome to Birdland tweets for the draft picks.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The draft is a big part of the season for us, and excited that it's right around the corner.
Because for Orioles fans, I mean, you know, it's 20 rounds of the draft. It used to be 40 not too long ago. I mean, a lot of guys getting picked every year. It's hard to know who they all are, you know, coming out of high school, college, wherever. You know, mainly college picks nowadays for all organizations, but especially the O's. But, I mean, just the simple tweets, the Welcome to Birdland and some numbers on their college stats, maybe a clip from them playing college ball. I mean, that's huge for me seeing that. I know, you know, Orioles fans who are not nearly as plugged in got to appreciate that as well.
Yeah, and it's a big day for the players as well. You know, just the start of your professional career, it's always a big moment. So we like to highlight that.
Three balls and a strike on Cauley. Top of the order getting it done tonight. Three extra base hits between Ozuna and Cauley. Birds down 4-3. 3-1 pitch. Gassed him up. 3-2.
Yeah, there's that hoppy fastball that he's got.
Back and forth scoring continues. I got to add it up in between innings. We've seen a lot of lead changes so far tonight. 3-2 popped up. So three balls, two strikes, two outs with Cauley in the box. Birds down a run. Hoping it stays that way. Deep breath from Fyrovid. Next pitch. Just got a piece to foul it away.
Yeah, you'd like to hold him to one here, and hopefully a new pitcher comes in the game and you get a better look at him.
Yeah, Santos has gone the first six for Hickory. There is action in that bullpen. Both bullpens got action. 3-2. Called strike three on the outer half. Fyrovid knew it right away. Cauley didn't quite know it, but he is down on strikes for the third time tonight. And Fyrovid picks up his third strikeout.
Flame on.
The Crawdads grab the lead on Alejandro Ozuna's two-out RBI double after Jace Easley got on with two outs. So it's time to stretch here in Aberdeen. We'll head to the bottom of the seventh with the Birds down 4-3. Stay locked in on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Bottom of the seventh inning here in Aberdeen. The Birds trail the Crawdads 4-3, game five of a six-game series. The Birds dropped the series opener on Tuesday, but W's in the last three, including a walk-off win in 10 innings on Thursday. And now the Birds will send Retzbach, Costas, and Hodo to the plate, 7-8-9, against Hickory starter Winston Santos, who is still out there working into the seventh inning, giving this Hickory team some length. Well, it's something that he's done only one other time this season. His season high is 6 1/3 on May 4th at Rome. Pitched really well that day, gave up just two earned runs and had seven Ks, but pitching into the seventh inning tonight for the first time since his first appearance in May. So that was six starts ago that he did that. First pitch to Retzbach, misses for a ball. It's 1-0. Retz doubled in the second. There's a swing and a miss. Count is 1-1. Well, Adam is swinging it really well. Two extra base hits last night, the double tonight. Hitting some bombs during BP today. Swing and a miss there. It's 1-2.
Yeah, maybe he'll get into one here. Tie it up.
Well, that's been the theme of the night. One team scores, other team comes right back. Retz has five extra base hits alone in the month of June. Played in eight games in June. Swing and a miss. And he's down on strikes. Well, it's another punch out for Winston Santos. And that's his ninth. He's up at 83 pitches now. And for Santos, that's the third time this season that he's punched out at least nine in a game. Costas grounds one softly up the third baseline. Santos picks it up barehanded and fires a strike to
nice
first
play.
On the money. That's a really nice play right there. You know, it doesn't get much better than that for a pitcher hopping off the mound, fielding his position.
I was about to compare Maxwell Costas bunting to Enrique Bradfield there if he got on.
That's funny you mentioned that because today during BP, I was talking to Randy Florentino. He dropped the bunt hit down last night. And I said, yeah, when you dropped that bunt down, I was like, is that Enrique or Flo? He was cracking up. He said, nah, you didn't say that. I said, nah, I didn't. But I said it. Got a laugh out of him.
Catch him off guard, get on base.
That was a great bunt. Both those guys last night had bunt hits. So Hodo takes inside, counts 1-1, two gone and no one on in the seventh. Santos' career high in strikeouts is 12. He did that on April 19th at Greensboro. Probably won't get there tonight. Can almost guarantee it. There's bullpen action for Hickory. And he is only at nine punchouts right now. 1-2 pitch coming up. Hodo doubled and scored in the third. He walked and scored in the fifth. As he takes outside. Making it happen at the bottom of the order tonight.
Yeah, just a great steady role player to have.
2-2, half-hearted check swing. He went around, and it's a 1-2-3 inning for Winston Santos. So he is through seven innings of three-run ball. It's a career-high seven innings of work for him tonight. And if that's it for him, a really nice outing. Seven in the books here in the Dean. Birds still down 4-3. We'll head to the top of the eighth after another break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bradley Brimmer is the new pitcher for the Ironbirds in the top of the eighth inning. 4-3 Hickory over Aberdeen with Morabell, Walcott, and Miesis due up. Birds went down 1-2-3 in the home seventh as Winston Santos has fired seven strong innings for Hickory tonight. Brimmer the fourth arm tonight for the Birds. Wells 3 2/3. Barnhart 2 complete. Firevet an inning and a third. And now Brimmer, fourth right-hander of the night. Product of Indiana. And the former Hoosier fires a strike to Morabell. Count is 0-1. Brimmer, 24 years old, native of Indianapolis, Indiana. 12th round pick of the O's in 2022. Made his professional debut last year. 16 games, 14 starts for Delmarva. And this is his 16th appearance out of the pen this season for the Birds. He has a 260 ERA. And Bob, I know this is a guy that you were looking forward to see and a guy that I think a lot of people in Birdland should be excited about, but maybe in a little bit more of an unknown name.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been awesome this year.
Right on cue, strikeout.
His strikeouts are up, and he was used as a starter last year. Had a 4.61 ERA over 16 games, 14 starts, and feel like he's been used more in like two or three inning spurts here with Aberdeen, and his stuff is playing up.
36 strikeouts now and only 12 walks. Opponents hitting 216 against him this year. Yeah, a lot of two-inning outings. He's completed two or more in three of his last four. His season high is 3 1/3. That was back on April 13th. Counts 0-1 on Walcott, who's been quiet tonight. Two strikeouts and a pop-out. 0-1, just missed off the plate.
He's got a 2.6 ERA, but a 3 FIP, 3.68 XFIP, so right in line with that. No luck involved. He's just good this year.
1-1, high chopper to short. Young waited back on it. Now a long throw to first, and he skips it over to Costas. A strategic bounce off the turf, and a 6-3 put out is out number two.
Yeah, that was a nice play.
So you're from the Baltimore area, grew up in Baltimore County. Did you grow up an O's fan? So, you know, O's fan through and through?
Yeah, I was. My grandma got me into it when I was probably 10 years old, and okay. It was no looking back from there. I had a blog back in the day in high school, Oriole Report, which is
That's
my Twitter handle.
Twitter, yeah.
So.
Fouled out of play, and the count is 0-1 on Miesis. Birds down one, top of the eighth, two outs, no one on.
Yeah, so the fact that, you know, these years later, I'm actually doing what I would have loved to do, even if it is like a secondary job type thing, dream come true.
0-1 misses low. I mean, you know, never too late to you know, do it. Obviously, you guys starting the podcast in 2020, and it's really taken off. Over 13,000 Twitter followers. How many average listens do you get per episode?
Probably around 1,000.
Okay. That's big time.
You know, certain ones will spike up, obviously, but yeah. I'd say that's about average on a weekly basis.
Did you ever think you'd be doing a podcast getting over 1,000 listens per episode, getting, you know, people like Mike Elias and Eve Rosebaum coming on, you know,
no.
Big time prospects like Norby and Mayo?
Never. No. Pinch me. Yeah.
Liner up the middle. That's a hard hit base hit for Miesis. And a two out base runner for the Crawdads. That brings up Yossi Galan.
About 10 years ago, I was doing a movie podcast. I'd be happy if I got 10 downloads a week then.
Yeah, well, I think, and I've said it throughout the broadcast, I said it before we went on air tonight, I mean, there really aren't any other podcasts or outlets that are covering the Orioles minor league system as in as detailed of a way as you guys are.
Yeah, obviously we got a little bit lucky with coinciding with the Orioles getting better in that regard and having, like, one of the best farm systems the past few years, but, yeah, it just seemed like a niche that wasn't being filled, and hopefully we're just trying to do the best at filling it.
What was the goal initially when you started the podcast?
Oof. Just make people aware of the guys that aren't, you know, top five guys. Mm-hmm. And really just to see the process play out from the beginning to the end with Mike Elias coming in, pretty much gutting the organization and starting over. And let's see how it develops. And yeah. Luckily, it developed pretty well.
It worked out. I mean, you guys have been there really for almost the entire Mike Elias era doing the podcast, the very beginning of it. 1-1 to Galan. That's downstairs. Birds down a run, top of the eighth inning, runner at first, two down. And I think that's a great point you make, letting people know about the guys that aren't the big-name prospects, who are the top draft picks or the top signings. I mean, there's so much talent throughout this organization. Not everybody can be on a top prospect list. Broken bat grounder to Mayo at third, off-balance third
nice
first.
Play.
Too easy there, and the inning is over. So Bremer works around a two-out base runner, and he throws up a zero in the top of the eighth. We'll pick up this conversation when we come back in the bottom of the eighth. Birds down 4-3, down to their final six outs, but looking for some late-inning magic again tonight. Keep it locked on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Birds down 4-3, bottom of the eighth inning, top of the order. Enrique Bradfield Jr., Kobe Mayo, and Mac Horvath against right-hander Jackson Kelly, who throws from a three-quarter submarine arm slot. First pitch misses outside to EBJ. Count is 1-0. Winston Santos is done after 89 pitches, 63 strikes, 7 innings of 3-run ball on 6 hits with 10 strikeouts and 1 walk. 1-1 or 1-0, make it 1-1 as that pitch catches the zone. Second time this season that Santos has fanned double-digit batters. So he is done after a great outing. And now it's up to the Hickory bullpen that the Birds have gotten to all week. 1-1, pitch misses high. Even in the game they lost on Tuesday, they tied it in the late innings before they lost in the ninth. But this is a resilient Iron Birds club. 2-1, Bradfield takes a strike. Well, this is the part of the lineup, Bob, that could really do some damage. You get Bradfield on as the leadoff base runner with a ton of speed, and then the pop with Mayo, Horvath, and Willems coming up.
Yeah, get Bradfield on, hit a gap, tie it up.
If Bradfield gets on first base, you can almost expect him to try to take second within a couple pitches. 2-2, flips it foul out of play.
Yeah, I got to imagine a side armor like this is probably a little bit easier to steal on, but I don't know. I never stole many bases in high school, so.
What position did you play in your career?
Mostly second base, a little bit of pitcher.
Two balls and two strikes on Enrique. Swing and a miss, pitch up in the zone. That was a weird pitch. It almost looked like it rose. That brings up Kobe Mayo, who we know can tie it with one swing. He almost gave the Birds the lead on one swing, ended up doubling to the warning track in left center his last time up. Kelly, 24 years old, from Marietta, Georgia. 12th round pick in 2022 out of Mercer. 2.73 ERA and 18 relief appearances. This is his second appearance of the series. He gave up 3 runs in an inning of work in Thursday night's comeback win for the Birds. Mayo grounds one to the left side. Mike had broken his bat. Cauley, the shortstop, has it over to first, and he gets Mayo, 6-3 on the putout. Well, yeah. Bob, I know you guys have done a lot of remote shows with the podcast recently. Do you have a favorite one that you've done or a favorite spot that you've been at?
Yeah, we've been to Checker Spot Brewery right by Camden Yards a couple times now at the end of last season and then about a month ago. A lot of fun. Great little stage area that's really cool. Good people. The patron works behind the bar, so hopefully we get to go back soon.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you know, getting out in the community and, you know, people getting to see, you know, your faces and hear you live and hear you, you know, in person live instead of just tuning into the podcast. Horvath takes outside. Birds down 4-3, bottom eight, two outs and no one on.
Also just makes it real for us to see people that, oh, you, people actually do listen to this. Okay.
2-0 inside. Do you have people coming up either before or after, maybe even during breaks during the show, saying like, hey, you know, I've been listening to you for this amount of time, you know, things like that?
Yeah, we have, and it's surreal, but always cool to see the fellow sickos out there.
Local celebs. Broken bat. Ground ball out to second, and the play made at first. Well, Kelly just picked up the barrel and spiked it over towards the Ironbirds dugout. The bat went flying and hit him in the foot on the mound. I was scared to see the shards of a wood bat flying. But it's a 1-2-3 inning for Jackson Kelly. Much better outing this time than the last time he saw the Birds. Well, we are through eight here in Aberdeen. Birds still down a run. We'll head to the top of the ninth inning and see if the Ironbirds can keep it that way.
Looks like Roger Clemens throwing the bat at Mike Gatson.
Yeah, it's like as if.
right. Seem like such like a fun club, you know. Like. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Just good vibes over here.
Birds trail 4-3 as we go to the top of the ninth inning here in Aberdeen. Bradley Brimmer back to work. Four runs on seven hits for Hickory. Three runs on six hits for Aberdeen. Pitch to Brimmer is in for a strike. As he starts off, Moeller with strike one. Moeller is 1-for-3 with an RBI single. That came back in the fourth. 0-1 from Bradley misses outside 1-1. The game was tied going into the top of the seventh, when Hickory grabbed the go-ahead run on a two-out RBI double from Alejandro Ozuna. Really weird game on the Hickory side of things on the scorecard tonight. They've scored in three different innings, and they had a base runner and didn't score in the eighth, but in the through the first seven innings, the three innings they scored in, of course, runners on base throughout. In the other four, no one on base, four 1-2-3 innings. A 1-2 pitch coming up to Moeller. Brimmer ready. Breaking ball outside. So here's a stat for you, Bob, and a shout-out to our public address announcer, Ray Atkinson, for texting me this. The first two batters of every inning tonight for Hickory are a combined 0-for-16.
Wow. Yeah.
2-2, just missed up high. And that was a couple – I mean, that was – that was a couple innings ago that he texted me that. So now it's changed because now we're...
Still, that's very interesting.
3-2, foul back. Oh, no, I think I had that added right. 0-for-16, 8 innings, top two batters. 8 plus 8, 16. All right, I had it right. I was looking at my scorebook. I'm like, something doesn't look right here. That fast math isn't always easy.
So, yeah, the first eight innings, the Birds have set the first two guys down in order in all of them. 3-2, of course.
Yep, base hit. There you go.
There it goes. There it goes. And I knew that was going to happen. I just knew it. It's all right. We'll get a double play ball, take
exactly.
care of it. So now the first two hitters of every inning, a combined 1 for 17. But shout out to Ray for texting that to me. Ray, my co-host on the air show, the pregame show we do live inside the stadium here in Aberdeen. Bunt attempt back to the left side. Brimmer let it go. He thought that either Young or Mayer were going to come up on that. No one did, and it's an infield bunt single for Ben Blackwell. So trying to sacrifice Mueller to second. He ends up with a base hit, so first and second, no outs. That's just a tough one right there.
Yeah, maybe a lack of communication. You got Kobe up in a rehab stint, you know, not as used to playing with these guys as much.
Yeah.
I don't know who that's on, but.
Now Willems will go out and chat with Brimmer. The Ironbirds pitchers have done a nice job tonight. They've limited Hickory to 4 runs. I mentioned all the 1-2-3 innings. The strikeouts are piling up as well. 13 strikeouts for this pitching staff. The pitching staff's season high in strikeouts is 14. They've done that 5 times. The last time was May 14th at home against Wilmington.
First two batters this inning, 2 for 2.
Right after I read the stat. Bunt up the third baseline. It's a good one. Mayo bare hands, throws to first. Money.
Beautiful play.
Birds get the out. Both runners move up, but how about that play, Bob, from Kobe Mayo?
Yeah, who says he can't play third base? Strong arm. Great actions there.
Too many critics out there. So a sacrifice bunt, 5-4 on the putout. You don't see that very often. But both corners charged, and Horvath covered first. So sack bunt, runners at second and third, one out. Here's Ozuna, who has driven in 3 of the Crawdads' 4 runs, and now is when Brimmer could really use a strikeout.
Yeah, infield in, going to try to limit it to a 1-run deficit going into the bottom of the ninth.
It makes such a difference going into that home ninth, down 1 versus down multiple runs. A 1, chop foul.
Strikeout would do nicely as well.
One more strikeout would tie the team season high. Infield remains in all the way around. Outfielders staying put straight away. Mayo hugging the line at third. 0-2, got
him.
There
you go.
Breaking ball outside corner, a backdoor sweeper.
Great pitch.
And that is a huge out number two. So, well, I think that makes up for it. I say the stat about the top two hitters of an inning. That stat goes away. I mentioned they need a strikeout. Get a strikeout.
Yeah, they just reversed the trend.
It has its way of working itself out. How about another one right here? Here's Cam Cauley. So 2 strikeouts for Brimmer tonight. Bird's still down 4-3 in the away ninth. Pitch misses off the plate.
Nice stop by Creed.
Pitch from Brimmer. Ground ball to the left side. Mayo has it. His throw over to first on the money, and the inning is over. Well, Brimmer and the Birds get out of trouble. First and second, no outs. Second and third, one out, and another zero on the scoreboard. A strikeout and a ground ball to end it. And we're going to the home half of the ninth. Birds need 1 to tie and 2 to win it. We'll see if they can walk it off for the second time this week. 4-3 Hickory, bottom nine next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Creed Willems leads off the bottom of the ninth inning for the Ironbirds. Down a run, 4-3 Hickory, as the Birds look for their fourth straight win. Down to their final three outs, but Thursday's walk-off heroes leading off, and he pops one up behind home plate out of play. Count is 0-1. Willems is 0-3 with a couple of strikeouts and a ground out tonight. But a chance to do a job, get himself on base, as the Birds look for their fourth straight comeback win. Next pitch outside. New pitcher is right-hander Skylar Hales. Jackson Kelly worked a 1-2-3 eighth in relief of Winston Santos, who gave up 3-7 with 10 strikeouts. Birds haven't scored since the fifth. Willems pops up another one out of play, foul, 1-2.
Going to need some super heroics here in the bottom of the ninth with Marvel Knight and Iron Birds assemble.
It has to happen. Got to tie it in with the theme, so these guys got a job to do. 1-2, Willems flicks another one foul out of play. Second time we've seen Hales this week. After a quick eighth inning for Jackson Kelly. Hales, 22 years old, fourth round pick last year out of Santa Clara. 1-2 outside, it's 2-2 on Creed. 4.94 ERA for Hales this year, 17 relief appearances, 5 saves and 6 chances. 29 strikeouts, just 8 walks. Next pitch, Willems skies one to deep left center field. Galano and Ozuna are back, and it's Ozuna who makes the catch in deep left center on the track. Well, he gave it a ride, and again, one of the deeper parts of the park. You know, if it's down a line, it's gone, but it is out number one instead.
Yeah, when Creed's in Bowie, that one might sneak over the wall.
Well, for a second, I thought that one might drop because Gallant looked like he wanted to catch it, and then there was some late communication there, and on the Crawdad side for them, they made it happen. Here's Elio Prado. Pitch misses inside, almost clipped him. Count is 1-0. Well, Bob, I meant to mention it earlier in the broadcast, but there was one interview that really stood out to me earlier this year that you guys did, and it was with Freddie Benkosme, who's with AA Bowie this year. Now, Freddie was one of my favorites in Aberdeen last year. Just an awesome guy to talk to. And it was just really cool hearing, you know, some of the different things he was talking about, especially his relationship with manager Roberto Mercado and how much Berto's helped him. Prado laces one foul down the left field line. But it's stories like that that you get out of your guys' podcast.
Yeah, that was a really fun one. Benkosme, another, he's one of my favorite players as well. Just super fun to watch in the field, at the plate. And, that was cool. We had Brandon Quiñones there to translate, but he didn't really have to do anything. Yeah. Benkosme, he was great on his own.
1-2, called strike three. Prado's down on strikes. Two up, two down, and the Birds are down to their final out. And one thing that I took away from that episode was Freddie mentioned that Carlos Gomez, the former big leaguer, had said to him at one point that the hardest level of the minor leagues is high A. And Freddie, you know, at times struggled at high A, but for the most part, pretty good numbers. Now he's up in double A. But that really stood out because, you know, obviously the highest level is triple A, but a lot of people say that the hardest level is double A because that's where the most prospect-laden talent is, and triple A is a lot more, you know, former big leaguers, guys hanging on. But to hear high A as the toughest, as this one's driven out to deep right, Morabell goes back, and he makes the catch on the track. So Young flies out. Two flyouts to the warning track in the bottom of the ninth. So the Birds had a shot, and they got some good swings off of Spencer Hales. But that is it as we wrap up what was a fun game in the Dean, some back-and-forth scoring, but ultimately, Bob, a tough one-run loss for these Birds.
Yeah, it was a good back-and-forth battle. Unfortunately, you know, just weren't able to pull it out.
Now, I'm not going to put this on you. Most of my guests have walked away with a W this year, partly because the Birds are 18-9 at home this year. Well, now 18-10. But, Bob, it's been great having you in the broadcast booth tonight with me. Ironbirds fans, we'll get you the final totals and a quick recap in a second here, but some overall thoughts, Bob, from your point of view of what we saw tonight.
Yeah, I thought Levi Wells looked fantastic despite, like you said, the line. Some unearned runs came in there with the error, but thought he was electric, looked really good. You can see why he was a fourth-round draft pick. The bats came alive. Saw a blast from Kobe Mayo, even if it was at the warning track. I think that might have been gone in a lot of different places. And, you know, sometimes the rehabbing guys help you out.
Yeah, I mean, that ball that Mayo hit back in, let's see what inning that was. That was back in the fifth inning. That ball gets out. The Ironbirds take a one-run lead. It stayed in the yard. It tied the game. But, again, deep part of the park. Maybe a little more wind blowing. Maybe a little bit hotter out. It flies out late, deeper in the summer. And then, of course, you know, Willems and Young to the warning track in the ninth inning. Again, the park playing a role in this one. But great point about Wells. I mean, you can see why the O's liked him so much. They drafted him so early. He was great. I mean, the line score on him, 3 2/3, 3 runs, not great. But 6 strikeouts, only 1 walk, love seeing that. And it was really only a couple of pitches that that ended up not going so well for him, because he was great. Struck out the 5 of the first 8 batters he faced. He went 8 up, 8 down to start the game. Birds used 4 pitchers tonight. Wells, Barnhart, Fyrouved, and Brimmer combined to allow just 4 runs in the loss. And then on the offensive side, Bob mentioned what Kobe Mayo did. Enrique Bradfield Jr. picked up another hit in an RBI. He's staying hot. Elio Prado with another hit. He's on a season-long hit streak. Same with Carter Young, who singled and scored. Doug Hodo on base twice, scored as well. Pretty well-played game on both sides, just 1 combined error on the night. Some final totals in this one. Ironbirds fans, well, first with the win, the Crawdads improved to 27-35. The loss drops the Ironbirds to 32-30. 3 runs on 6 hits, 1 error for the Ironbirds, 4 runs on 9 hits, and no errors for the Crawdads. The win goes to Winston Santos. He is 6-2. He finished the night with 7 innings of 3-run ball and 10 strikeouts. Graham Fyrouved takes the loss. He drops to 0-4, and Skylar Hales picks up his 6th save of the season in 7 chances. Game was played in 2 hours and 29 minutes in front of 4,589 fans here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. And the Ironbirds, with that attendance mark tonight, set a new season high. Just barely got over 4,534 from May 24th, but a new season high on Marvel Defenders of the Diamonds night. A really fun broadcast tonight, a really fun game, but unfortunately the Ironbirds fall on the losing end. Well, Bob, I want to shout out the On the Verge podcast one more time. You can follow the Orioles On the Verge podcast at The Verge Pod on Twitter and at Orioles On the Verge on Instagram. Bob, you guys are doing some awesome stuff. Over 13,000 followers on Twitter, you know, going over 4 years strong with the podcast. I mean, what's next for you guys moving forward? If you want to throw out some info on maybe some upcoming remote shows or just some plans for fun interviews.
Yeah, we're trying to build up the YouTube page as well. So if you want to go to YouTube, you can watch our live streams on Monday nights is usually when we record. Just search Orioles on the Verge. And in 2 weeks, we're going to have Lance Brzezinski on. Hope I pronounced his last name right, but he's a super smart guy when it comes to pitching metrics. And going to be excited to have him on, talk about some of the major league pitchers for the Orioles as well as some minor leaguers.
Do you guys have a goal of, you know, a certain amount of live streams that you want to do, or remote shows, or even followers that you want to get up to, or are you just kind of having fun with it rolling?
Yeah, we just want to just slowly continue to build. No real big goal numbers. I think we have like 144 patrons. I mean, be nice to cross that 150 mark this year, but really just enjoying what we're doing. Hopefully people are enjoying listening, and we'll keep it going.
Bob Phelan from the On the Verge podcast joining me as my guest color commentator in the booth tonight in Aberdeen. It's been a really fun guest in the booth series all season, and had been really looking forward to getting Bob on all year. So a tough loss for the Ironbirds as the Crawdads win it 4-3, but a fun broadcast. Well, Bob, thanks so much for coming on. Shout out to Nick and Zach with the podcast as well. You guys are doing some awesome stuff, and going to be excited to continue to follow your content and listen to the pod.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Michael. This was awesome to do. I'm really appreciative that you invited me up.
Anytime, man. I appreciate having you, and it's great. You know, you're local here. It was nice that you could just pop over, a quick drive. Well, he's Bob Phelan. I'm Michael Mark Cantonini. That's it for another fun night in Aberdeen. Shout out to my outstanding production crew here in the Dean. We've got some post-game fireworks, so we're going to hop off air. Thanks for tuning in, Ironbirds fans. We'll see if the Birds can win the series finale tomorrow at 2:05 Eastern. Keep it locked. Always on the Ironbirds broadcast.